Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Oh, hello. I was just typing a message again. I can't help it. There's like this continuum. I mean, there's the show and there's not the show. And the difference between not the show and the show, the only difference is I'm speaking to a microphone during the show and not the show. I'm still, you know, doing all the same kind of stuff. It's really kind of crazy. We are in interesting times, are we not? You take a look what's going on around the world. Take a look what's going on in Canada. You know, little Justin Castro, you know, throwing a temper tantrum. He's not getting his way, so he wants to take martial law, you know, into his own hands and basically change the entire government, you know, relationship with the people and basically become the tyrant that he wants, you know, his own military forces to fight against in other countries. Same thing here. Apparently Brandon has urged little Justin to take on all these measures. So we're in some really, really interesting and very strange and very dangerous times right now. So I think people are kind of getting over the idea that, you know, it can't happen here because it is. So we can put that aside. We can just sort of deal with the reality. We have a fascinating show today. I got the first half to kind of ramble, so if you want to join me, 215-383-3832 is the number, 215-383-3832. I also have live chat, which I forgot to set up. I think I'm going to do that now. Live chat is another way to reach me. It hasn't been active for a while, probably because when Jean was here, she did a lot more with live chat than I do. Occasionally, I forget to check it because I get involved with the show because, you know, that's kind of my first responsibility here. So what's on your mind? A little big question mark there. Here we go. See if I spelled it right. Probably not. Apparently, I didn't even type it. Hello. Good morning. Let's try this again. All right. Hang on. What's on your mind? Eventually, I'll get this into my habit pattern where I even spelled it. What's on your mind? I said, what's on your mind? Okay. I'm not even going to try and correct that. Let's see if anybody notices. I got too much else to do this morning. Okay. So we've got Laura Avalese, who's going to call us from Toronto, actually Hamilton, just outside Toronto, but no one knows where Hamilton is. So, you know, Toronto, Canada, where it's freezing right now. It's freezing here right now, too, although it's not quite as bad as it has been. Let's see the temperature is. It is a comfortable, what do we got here in Florida? 35 degrees. Oh, God. And it's going to go up to 37. Eventually, it's going to go up to 67. So it's mid-February now. Hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's Day. We were live yesterday, so if you missed it, if you thought that, you know, we were on holiday like a lot of other stations, you know, playing a best of, no, we didn't. We were here. And so the yesterday's show was fascinating. We spent a long time going over the whole idea of workers of the world unite, and so we did. You know, and then, of course, the government doesn't want the workers of the world to unite. They want the elite, you know, the globalists of the world unite is the real cry of what's going on. So let's see if we can we'll go back to the schedule. Then I'll get into the topics here. So we've got Laura Avalese. Shelby can't make it today, so we're not going to have a cruise and travel report. So I've talked to Josie, who does our Latino report, about possibly calling in a bit early. Laura, of course, is welcome to stay a little later. And then at 8 o'clock in the third hour, we have some wonderful guests that have been on before. This is Bernadette Pittman and R.C. Pittman, and they head up Northwest Florida's Bikers for Trump, B-O-T-G, and that stands for Boots on the Ground. And there are Bikers for Trump boots on the ground, I think, in every state at this point. They're going to be critical to what's going on with the truckers, you know, convoy that's going to D.C. What I'm guessing is that because ours is starting later, people are like, well, how come we weren't first? Well, when you think about it, if you want to get the bikers, you know, you can't have a lot of ice on the ground. I don't see a lot of bikers in Canada, in Ottawa right now. It's a little bit crazier. And in fact, I'm going to put a note here. There's something I just thought of a few minutes before showtime, and that's Governor Youngkin. So Governor Youngkin, don't mind me. I'm just kind of, you know, doing, and the Virginia National Guard. Okay. Why do I say that? National Guard. Yeah, there we go. Why do I say that? Well, because I think the time is now to contact Governor Youngkin. Things fall into place and you kind of look at things and you look at, you know, with a change in players, you know, you change your chess game. And what's interesting with Governor Youngkin being a Republican, having just, I think they just ended the school mandate on those barbaric masks that Democrats want little children to wear, because Democrats don't care about child abuse. In fact, look at their education system. So what's interesting about Governor Youngkin is that Governor Youngkin, being the governor of Virginia, is also head of the Virginia National Guard. So here's what I'm thinking. D.C. is going to do, I mean, Brandon, you know, under orders from Hillary Clinton, who's really running, I think, things domestically. Obama does all the foreign policy. Hillary, you know, Obama dictates the foreign policy, and Hillary dictates the domestic policy. So the greatest domestic terrorist in the country today is Hillary Clinton. And so if you're listening, Hillary, you know where to find me. And just, you know, like I say, I don't want to end up like some of her other, you know, people that testified against her and things like that. But just to let you know, I'm not afraid either. And so I will continue to broadcast the truth regardless of the consequences. You know, that's just that's the whole point. Truth means nothing if you're not willing to stand by it. And I do. All right. So Hillary, I believe, is our biggest domestic terrorist. I believe she's behind a lot of the Justice Department, you know, or the Anti-Justice Department, KGB, in attacking parents who criticize their school boards, you know, all the way down the line. And so it's very interesting to see what I think is going to happen with the our own convoy when it goes to D.C. So I'm thinking that Brandon, under orders from Hillary, is going to do exactly what Trudeau is doing under orders from God knows who, probably George Soros, somebody. I'd like to know who's pulling Trudeau's strings. Anyway, so little Justin, you know, potential alleged son of Fidel Castro, which is really funny. Tucker Carlson even said that the other day. He's great. He says, you know, Justin Castro. He called him Justin Castro, which is kind of curious. I talk about it just sort of for my own personal amusement more than anything else. I really don't care. I don't care, you know, who his parents were so much as I care what he's doing and what he's doing to my country in Canada. You know, in the place of my birth. You know, oh, Canada, okay. It really disgusts me right now. And what I think Brandon's going to try and do under orders from Hillary is exactly the same thing. When the truckers and the bikers and everybody else goes to D.C., they're going to try and close off D.C. They're going to bring our military in. They're going to be the Capitol Hill police, you know, Praetorian Guard, the D.C. police, Praetorian Guard, and they're going to do everything possible to suppress, oppress, steal. They're going to turn it into basically the Warsaw Ghetto in D.C., And what's interesting is that the governor of Virginia with the Virginia National Guard, that can be the pipeline. Okay. Now think about that. So here's the scenario I'm kind of concocting as I go through this, right? So the governor of Virginia, who can make a huge name for himself by being, you know, by doing, you know, something absolutely wonderful, have his Virginia National Guard, you know, supply the truckers clandestinely, otherwise, I don't care, helicopter drops, I don't care what they do. You know, I mean, this could be, but at least, you know, trucks up to the DC border, which will be a border. It'll be like a border to a foreign nation, you know, in fact, the one that we don't have at the southern border. But this is what I'm thinking, is that the connections that are made now with the Virginia National Guard to supply, you know, our truckers with food, gasoline, you know, all kinds of things, you know, bouncy castles, whatever else is going to be necessary when the blockade comes in. Is going to be, and the next duty, of course, is the Virginia National Guard to talk to our military, who doesn't want to enforce, you know, draconian, totalitarian dictatorship measures against American citizens. You know, that's the time to talk to them. So the Virginia National Guard is going to talk to, you know, our military, and hopefully the military will you know, side with the citizens over Brandon, who's an illegitimate, stolen, you know, government anyway. So it's not like you're doing anything wrong by going against Brandon, right? Which raises a very interesting question. I should ask Jonathan Mosley this. When you have an illegal government in Washington, are you defying orders when you don't obey them? And then, of course, the answer, I believe, is no. So they, you know, any order issued by Brandon, any executive order is illegitimate. In fact, all of them are illegitimate simply because, you know, he's not the legitimate president. He's still under investigation. He's still being audited. There are still all kinds of voter, you know, information things and you know, things coming out. And of course, they've already been voted in Wisconsin to there's bills in both Wisconsin and Arizona to decertify Brandon. Okay. So anything he does is illegal anyway. So you can't, you know, violating an illegal order is not a crime. Think about that one. We can twist that around when we get to Bernadette and RC when they join us in the third hour. So this is going to be a really interesting day. All right, so let's get to the title of the show, which I have unfortunately avoided up until this point. Trudeau's martial law, Hillary spied, and Ukraine is a fake war. That's a lot. That's three shows. Okay, so martial law is being talked about. We're going to talk about that more and more as we go through the show today. So that's a big deal. We've also got, let me see what else is going on here. Okay, I'm just trying to, well, that's interesting. My volume's not working. Well, it's working on my microphone, but who knows? All right, let me just try. I'm going to try a couple things here. There we go. Okay, don't mind me. I'm fussing around with stuff. Well, that's interesting. All right, here we go. All right, so Trudeau's martial law, that's been covered. We know what's going on. The good part is that Parliament still has to okay it or can revoke it. I don't know if they in Canada, I'll ask Laura about that. Is it something where Parliament has to affirm it or and it goes away, or they have to vote it down and it goes away? Either way, I want to find out which way it goes away. But Parliament has a say in this, and either House of Parliament can get rid of this Emergencies Act. See, the nice thing about the United States, the good and bad news. Okay, so the good news is that in the United States, we have a U.S. Constitution which has no clause like that. There is no Emergencies Act. There is no suspension, revocation, you know, partial restriction, reasonable restriction, compelling state interest, you know, for the public good, for the greater good. There's no provision for anything like that. The Constitution is always 100% in force regardless of whatever else is happening. Okay, so whether it's, you know, plagues, biblical plagues, you know, nuclear war, pandemics, you know, tidal waves or tsunamis, you know, doesn't matter what's going on. The Constitution is always 100% in force. You always have your rights. Anything to the contrary is just made up by other branches of government. Okay, so whether it's the executive, the regulators, the law enforcement, you know, police, public health officials, dictators like Dr. Fascist, any of those people, none of them have the power to do anything to touch your rights. They just don't, because your rights are inalienable. They didn't come from government. So if your rights didn't come from government, government can't restrict them. They certainly can't take them away. We know that, but they can't restrict them either, okay, because rights are inviolate. Rights are absolute, you know, within the context of the right. Okay, so Second Amendment. Quickly, you know, the difference between what's a right and what, you know, what's part of the right and what isn't. Second Amendment covers owning and carrying firearms. Okay, doesn't cover using. You know, there's no absolute right to use firearms however you want. That would be absurd. Okay, so there are legal uses and illegal uses. So the use of firearms is governed by government. You know, who through the people decide right and wrong, correct uses and the illegal uses. Okay, but the ability to own and carry can't be touched by government. See, there's the difference. Okay, so the right to own and carry is absolute, but there is no right to use as you see fit. Okay, because that would be stupid and that would be irrational, and that, you know, that way criminals could do whatever they wanted, and of course that's not true. So there's the difference. So the idea is that rights are absolute. All right, so if rights are absolute, can there be reasonable restrictions in an emergency? And the answer is no. There are no reasonable restrictions. There's no compelling state interest. That was made up by the Supreme Court, you know, and by other courts along the way, where they kind of come up with these new legal principles. They basically make stuff up. And here's a revolution. It is a revolution, but it's also a revelation. It's interesting those two words are only one letter apart. Think about that. Anyway, what I found fascinating is that in doing Action Radio, this is as much a learning experience for me as anything else. And what I'm finding out is that people don't know something that I kind of realized a long time ago, but I didn't realize that nobody else realized it. And it's not anybody's fault. It's just kind of the way it is, that when you see laws on the books, people think that there's this impression that there's some kind of lofty procedure that lawyers, you know, sit down carefully and do, you know, with years of research, they make sure that what is written are legal laws for the Constitution and all that other kind of stuff. That's a bunch of crap. Okay, where do laws come from? They usually come from special interests. They're bought, like when Pfizer and the other big pharma folks bought, you know, immunity from liability. Okay, most of the laws you see on the book were basically made up in somebody's head and written down. Okay, so that's why I don't feel any compunction, restriction. I don't feel any problem. I don't have any. There's nothing that I don't consider the fact that I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I mention it because it's curious. Because people, you know, wonder, well, you're not a lawyer. Well, listen, look at most of the stuff in law. And when you start actually reading the laws, you realize a lot of this junk was just simply made up by somebody, you know, probably an intern in a back room somewhere. Well, this looks interesting. Let's type this out. That's what legislation is. It literally is something that somebody made up, you know, typed up on a form, or now on a computer, and put before Congress, and they voted on it. That's it. Now, whether that law is constitutional or not is a different story, okay? That has to be, you know, goes through a process. But the actual writing of the law, you know, the ability to put things down, you know, on paper and on computer and have that become law, that's all made up. It really is. What is the new law? I mean, look at Obamacare. You know, what is Obamacare if not something they made up? Okay. So laws are made up. Well, I'm just trying to say that we can do that too. We the people can make up laws, and we can make up better ones, you know, because we have to give our consent, right? So the way you consent to the laws that you live under is by writing them yourself, and that's the whole idea of Action Radio, to reverse the trend of the special interests, you know, buying the laws from Congress, sending them through the executive, you know, the president or the governor, you know, and the state legislatures, you know, and having those mandates put on the people. So we're going to reverse that. The people are going to write the laws. We're going to send them to Congress and the state legislatures through the governor and, you know, governors and the president, and put the restrictions on the special interests. You know, that's how we get our freedom back. So it's a reversal of everything. All right. So we've got Trudeau's martial law. We'll see what happens with that. That's going to be interesting to discuss. Hillary, you know, what the hell took John Durham so long to investigate this? He should have done this. This is a 2016 violation. This should have been done within 6 months. Okay, I don't know when he got the charge to do that, but we always thought he was deep state. The fact that he's coming out with it now, right before the midterms, where nobody really cares, Durham's part of the deep state as far as I'm concerned. The delay in his findings of spying by Hillary is part of the cover-up. I mean, he had to come up with something, but he came up with it so late in the process that most people have already made their decisions anyway. You know, 2016, you know, doesn't matter much anymore. 2020 matters. You know, that's where the fraud is. That's what has to be corrected. But if you go back and say that Hillary spied in 2016, duh, or as Derek Park, our financial advisor on Fridays, would say, well, that's very good, Captain Obvious. Yeah, thank you for your participation. But we all know she spied. We know she's a criminal. We know she's, you know, well, we don't know, but she's alleged to have had, you know, up to 60 plus people killed, you know, who went against her for one reason or another. You know, so this is a bad person. This is an evil person. This is a person who stood by, you know, her other evil person, Bill Clinton, as he basically massacred the Branch Davidians at Waco, gassed them, burned them, and bulldozed their bodies into the ground without consequence. Okay, so we're talking about a really bad, you know, family of people. And that doesn't count the Clinton administration and, you know, whoever else that Bill's had killed. We don't know, you know, but that remember that scene in Godfather when Diane Keaton says to, what's his name? The actor, I keep getting confused, De Niro and the other guy, Pacino, there we go, says, you know, she said, Dan Keaton says to Pacino, presidents don't have people killed. He looks at her and says, don't be so naive. You know, so it's that kind of moment, all right? So that's the martial law thing. We're going to talk about that in depth with Laura and with Bernadette and R.C. Pittman, our Northwest Florida Bikers for Trump boots on the ground. And so we'll talk about that more. And the Hillary spy thing, I mean, I could read you articles. I could go into all the complex details. But quite frankly, at this point, it bores me. And that's saying something. I post stuff on my Facebook page. You know, you can look it up. It's very easy to find out. There's a lot of information if you want to get into the weeds on that. But I don't think so. I think the biggest issue is why he took so long. Why this is coming out now and not, you know, 5 years ago when it was would have been necessary. It should have been come out before the 2020 elections, like 2 years before. At least a year before the 2020 elections, all the Hillary spy stuff should have been out in the open. But that was election sabotage. That was part of the coup. That was part of the deep state. That was part of taking over the government from the legitimate, you know, President Donald Trump and basically installing, you know, this idiot. All these things on Hillary delayed, that's part of it. You know, Bob Barr, another deep state operative who was attorney general, you know, when he said, well, and his deep boys, you get there, and his very big man would say, his deep boys, well, there doesn't appear to be enough evidence of enough election fraud to change the result. As if that's relevant. You know, it doesn't matter how much fraud there is. If there is fraud at all, that's enough to change the result. You know, if someone cheats in a race in the Olympics and comes in third, they're still disqualified. Why? Because they cheated. Okay. So the measure of cheating is not whether it was enough to change the results. The measure of cheating is whether it occurred at all. All right. That's a very big difference. And so Bob Barr, being part of the deep state, who appointed John Durham, who was part of the deep state, you know, contributed to their deep state operations by delaying and denying us the information on Hillary and delaying and not investigating the vote fraud that was so plainly obvious to all of us, especially after the videotapes, the affidavits, you know, the evidence that's just overwhelming that we all know about now. Okay, I'm not going to go into that either. You know about it. You were to find it. Okay, that to me is all quite fascinating. So then we get to the next part of this puzzle today. Ukraine is a fake war. Okay, I don't have a source on that. I'm basically stating it myself, and I'm stating it, you know, first and foremost right here. Ukraine, I was talking to Dr. Peter Pry yesterday, and I've read the evidence, and I've looked around at, you know, all the connections. I mean, this goes back, maybe I will quote an article. No, it changed my mind a bit. I found one here that's really good because Facebook wouldn't let me post it. Okay, so those are generally the articles I like to lead off with. So if Facebook denies it, then it's probably something worthwhile reporting on here. And so this comes from Stillness in the Storm. And this is an article. It says, Timeline ties the Bidens, Soros, and even Barack Obama to Ukrainian affairs starting in 2014. And this is by Joe Hoft. Now, Joe Hoft is the twin brother of Jim Hoft, who run Gateway Pundit. Okay, so Jim is the boss, and he's the editor, and Joe is like one of the second major reporter. So they work together on this, and I think this website, Stillness in the Storm, you know, an agent of conscious evolution, was probably a precursor to Gateway Pundit. Anyway, so this was from October 22nd, 2020. So this was just before, you know, the November coup, where the White House was stolen from Brandon. Oh, he's the source Gateway Pundit. So it is. Okay, so I guess it does start with Gateway. It is in Gateway Pundit. Okay, my mistake. That's where Joe Hoft come from. Okay, so maybe this was just one of those articles that sort of borrowed from another one. Anyway, so let me just read it. He says, anti-American George Soros was interviewed by 60 Minutes years ago. In this infamous interview, Soros claimed no shame for turning in fellow Jews to the Nazis in World War II Hungary. The Nazis stole from the Jews, and Soros claimed that if he didn't turn Jews into the Nazis, someone else would. Oh, there's a good defense. That's what I'm there with. I was just following orders. Okay. So he says, notice that this interview from 20 years ago, Soros was already involved in Ukraine. Okay, there's the connection. After President Trump's election, George Soros was reportedly behind the airport protest. A week before that, Soros was reportedly behind 50 groups involved in the women's protest the day after the inauguration. Before that, Soros was connected to the groups demanding election recounts after the November 8th, 2016 election. And Soros money was funding more protests during those efforts. And there was information showing that Soros funded Black Lives Matter protests across the country before that. This is a bad dude. Okay. He says, but between 2013 and the election of 2016, Soros was involved in Ukraine along with former President Obama and his vice president, Joe Biden, and his family. Okay. So the reason I'm reading this is because the connections, what is it about Ukraine? Something about Ukraine and Democrats, you know, and the worst people in the world, you know, George Soros, you know, included like Bill Gates, George Soros, you know, all these Zuckerberg, Bloomberg, you know, all these folks, the biggest globalists with the most money and the most power, doing the most evil things that they possibly can and not caring because they can, you know. Remember that great line in the Stepford Wives, you know, I won't give away the whole plot. You know, when they finally got to the boss and Catherine Ross looks at him, and I forgot, great actor. I think it was Robert Lansing maybe or someone like that. She looks at him and he says, "What?" And that's not who it was, but it's someone, you know, vintage, you know, actor. And he says, "Why did you do this?" And he says, "Because we can." And which answers another question I'm not going to go into now. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Anyway, so we got February 14th, 2014, VP Joe Biden named by President Obama to be the point man on all things Ukraine. So as far, yeah, so this goes back a long way. So what I'm thinking is, all right, you know, I've got more stuff here. Then they go into a bunch of things, Burisma and all the other articles and all the timelines, you know, May 13th, 2014, Hunter Biden is announced as board member for Burisma. And they have this whole timeline here. Okay. The timeline isn't as important as the overall effect. And the overall effect is Democrats, George Soros, globalists have been involved in Ukraine for a long time. Okay. Now here's where the plot gets even thicker. All right. Because what did Brandon do as soon as he got in office? All right. He gets rid of the Keystone Pipeline, takes away our energy self-sufficiency, takes away our energy independence, takes away, you know, thousands upon thousands of jobs, which is pretty bad thing for, you know, supposedly, you know, union, you know, pro party, right? So they do that. So they destroy jobs, they destroy our energy, create inflation, cause our gas prices to skyrocket, cause the cost of everything that goes by truck to go up. And of course, everything goes by truck, right? That's, once it gets into the continental United States, everything goes by truck. There's trains and there's other, trust me, it goes by truck, right? So all this stuff is going on. And what does Brandon do then? Well, he okays the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline to Europe, particularly Germany. All right. So what's the one country of NATO that least wants a war in Ukraine? Germany. What a big surprise. Well, because they've got the energy, they've got the oil. And basically after invading Russia, you know, World War II with Operation Barbarossa, the Russians, at the cost of millions of lives, you know, kicked their proverbial butts all the way back to Berlin. Okay. I mean, it was horrible what happened both directions. You know, the Nazis invading Russia and the Russians invading Germany, you know, sort of reinvading, you know, Germany. I mean, and what's interesting is you've got Nazis on one side who are ultra leftist totalitarians and you know, communists who are ultra leftist totalitarians. So it's a fascinating clash of similar political ideologies. So left on left violence is very real. I mean, you saw it in Charlottesville and a bunch of other places. Yeah, I'll go into that later. I've talked about that before. But here we go. So this is a fake war. I believe if you take the totality of the connections with Biden, with Brandon, with Ukraine, with, you know, Brandon Jr., you know, Hunter with Ukraine, with Soros with Ukraine, with Obama with Ukraine, with the idea, with the plan that they disarmed the Ukraine of nuclear weapons, which I think was a payoff to Russia. Okay. I mean, why else? Why would you disarm Ukraine against Russia? If you believe in NATO, if you believe in Western Europe, if you believe that Russia should be pretty much contained, that was the political philosophy of the 50s. That's the whole domino theory. We have to contain communism. We better stop communism in Korea or it will spread. Well, it's still there. Okay. We better contain communism in Vietnam or it will spread. We know what happened there, right? Better contain communism. The dominoes will start falling and pretty soon everybody will be communist. That was the theory. That's the whole theory of the Cold War. All right. The whole Cold War was to contain communism, you know, to Russia and China. Good luck with that. Okay. Because China is basically, you know, is a communist country operating with a capitalist economy for the Communist Party. It's really kind of fascinating how they do things. Anyway, I don't know how you define that economically, but it would be interesting to find out. So that's what's going on. All right. So we've got this incredible intertwined story. Ukraine is very complex. You've got an incredibly corrupt government of Ukraine. I believe the Obama administration, and I'll question that too, whether that was legitimate, but that's another story as well. But you've got Obama, you know, basically overthrowing, you know, one Ukrainian government, you know, for a pro-American one. You know, that's what Brandon was there to do. And he said, oh, you're not going to get the money. You know, get rid of your prosecutor, stop investigating, you know, my kid. And, you know, and then, of course, I'm not sure all the details on that, but I'm pretty sure that we had a big hand in changing the government in Ukraine. Well, Russia wants to do the same thing. They want to change it back to a pro-Russian Ukrainian government. And Ukraine's not a place of, you know, it's not a real bastion of freedom either. I was listening to Tucker Carlson last night talking about the press is restricted, you know, the rights are few and far between in Ukrainians. You know, and which I think a third of them are basically Russian descendants or Russian, you know, ancestry or ethnic Russians anyway, in the eastern part of Ukraine on the eastern side of the Dnieper River or the Dnieper, it starts with a D, the Dnieper River, you know. So, I mean, Russia doesn't have to invade Ukraine. They're already there. I had another article that talked about the real war. The real war at Ukraine has been going on for years. It's a cyber war. It's the same war that Russia has been waging against us and a bunch of other countries. So did Russia collude, you know, did Russia collude with Trump to change our election? No. Russia's been doing it on their own. Actually, they're actually colluding with Democrats, which I think was a payoff for Uranium One. So you see, all this is connected, right? It's just one big, you know, political globalist mafia. So the Russians get paid off, you know, and they will, you know, and then they have their resources at the disposal, you know, to sort of do all this kind of stuff. And I'm not sure how all the manifestations work, but I absolutely believe that the Ukraine war is a total fake. Okay. People, you know, the Democrat, you know, Hillary operatives, you know, they're paying off the Russians somehow, I think with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, I think that was a payoff. All right. In return for allowing Brandon to look tough, you know, pretend there's going to be a war in Ukraine. You know, I see no evidence of a war. Yeah, are the troops along the Russian border? Of course there are. There are always troops along the Russian border. That's what the Russians do. They put troops on their border. So do most nations. We have troops on our border. Surprise, surprise. Okay? So the idea that troops are on a nation's border is not an unusual circumstance. Well, except for our southern border, which is wide open, you know, per Brandon. So Brandon opens our border and wants to defend Russia's border for a country that's very restrictive in terms of freedoms for the people, that is incredibly corrupt, that has been corrupt for God knows how many decades or hundreds of years, all right? You know, and the payoffs just keep going back and forth and back and forth. So the real war, here's what's interesting about, you want to talk about warfare. In the history of warfare, warfare used to be done with guns and cannons and, you know, troops and, you know, from trench warfare to every other kind of warfare you can think of. That's how warfare worked, all right? Something here is quiet. It sounds very quiet on my microphone. Let me make sure I'm still broadcasting it. I've tried to get levels. You know, I'm trying to get to – oh, that sounds better. I'm trying to get levels, you know, like they have in studios, those little gauges. We have them on my Adobe Audition program. So when I make recordings for all the things I do here at Action Radio, I can actually tell when I'm broadcasting, when I'm actually recording or not, by the levels, by the amount of sound going in. So I'm trying to get those on the studio platform here so we can use those as well. All right. Now, as far as I know, I'm still broadcasting. We'll find out in a couple of minutes when Laura checks in with us, you know, from Canada, and we'll see what's going on there. But if not, then I have to restart the show, and it gets kind of messy, you know. So it's one of those kind of things. Let me see. Did Laura contact me? Not yet. Okay. So as far as I know, we're still in the works here, and things are going well. All right. Like I say, I get nervous anytime the sound changes. So complex Ukraine, very complex. Let me see. I actually had some notes on this. I'm doing this all out of my head right now. Let me see if I can get to Ukraine. Where did I write my Ukraine stuff? I guess I didn't. It should be here somewhere. All right. I want to give time to play. play my my bit here. Let me do something. As I'm recouping and regathering, let me play a couple things from our sponsors.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com. BESMALLBUSINESS. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it.
Action Radio. Dangerously cool. All right, we're joined by Laura Avalese in Canada. And so, Laura, I still have to make you a theme, so I'll get to that as soon as I can. No, like I said, just before you came on, my mic sounded weird. I just want to make sure I'm still broadcasting. So if you can hear me, then all is well. We can proceed and get into, you know, your recent dictatorship as of yesterday. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, good morning.
All right, so good. Things are working well. That's good to hear. Okay, so I'm just going to let you kind of chat about this a bit. So I'd like to know when you first heard about this declaration and, tell me everything that's going on in Ottawa and Toronto as well, because, you know, the provinces are sort of changing and we all of a sudden have little Justin Castro. That's what I'm calling him now. Little Justin Castro, you know, throwing a temper tantrum, and rather than just end the mandates and get this over with and go back to, you know, normal life that the vast majority of Canadians seem to want to do. He wants to declare martial law, and I'm not sure what he's trying to do with this. But so tell me the story. Tell me it from your perspective. I'm really curious what the Canadians are thinking about all this.
I haven't been following much except for really yesterday for what happened. So
that's okay.
Ford has removed the vaccine passports as of March 1st. Masks are still going to be in place. And then yesterday, little Hitler, Castro, whatever you want to call him.
Have the drone with a mustache yet? Have the drone with a little Hitler mustache? Are those cartoons? Have they started yet?
Actually, there's a funny one right now that he's got his little mustache. And basically, you know, it says if you, drive too fast, you'll go to jail. If you leave your house, you'll go to jail. If you
basically everything's illegal.
Yeah, so yesterday wasn't really a really good day. It was a very emotional, upsetting day. And I can't believe what we're living through. We are definitely in scary times. Ottawa, the truckers say, you know, don't fear. They're not going anywhere and hold the line. And that these are all scare tactics. Now, apparently they have, I think, 7 days and all the premiers have to vote. And there's at least so far three premiers that are against it. So it's the first time ever in history that this has been done. And, yeah, I mean, if he gets his votes, we're done, you know, and I think it'll be time for, I know I'll have to reconsider my life. And I have a very good friend in Chicago last night who said, come here. I've got a big house. You can live here, get your real estate license here. But, you know, if I didn't have kids and I didn't have a grandson, I'd be gone. But it makes it a little harder. But, yeah, I'm lost for words. Again,
no, okay.
I just can't believe we're here.
Yeah. See, the reason I love having you on the show is not for the technical intricacies of exactly what's happening. You know, the government, I can look that stuff up on the news. I mean, that's not a big deal. What I want to know is what Canadians are thinking and feeling. And this is where you're invaluable, you know, to be able, because you're right there. And so I think people need to understand that, because we're going to have our own trucker convoy here. In fact, my guest, if you want to either listen in or even call back, you know, if you have time, in the third hour, Bernadette Pittman and R.C. Pittman, you know, Northwest Florida Bikers for Trump. They've been with Trump since the beginning. And so these are two wonderful people, but they're going to be helping or leading or somehow connected. I'll find out, you know, at 8 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock your time, you know, what's going on with our own convoy. And so I'm hoping to get everybody connected, you know, so that because we have, you know, Jen Clark in Australia with the Australian convoy, and there's a New Zealand convoy, and I've got a contact there now, and I have folks in Israel, and this is worldwide. This is a big deal. And so all these governments that have been quietly, you know, trying to be Marxist totalitarians, you know, under the guise of a, quote, democracy, well, there's nothing democratic about this. This is authoritarian. This is tyranny. This is, you know, what you're feeling now is exactly what Germans felt, you know, in the 1930s. Well, I can't believe this is happening. We know, who is this guy? And we elected him, you know, and that was Adolf Hitler, right? And so Hitler was elected. You know, Justin Trudeau was elected. Am I comparing the two? Well, in the sense of the tyrannies that they're bringing about, yes. You know, Justin Trudeau is not, you know, causing a Holocaust. I want to keep this in perspective. But the thing is, tyranny is still tyranny. If you lose your rights, that's tyranny. It doesn't have to be a Holocaust to make it tyranny. And so people, that's the ultimate, you know, the extreme end of tyranny, you know, but tyranny itself is an extreme. And so what's happening is fascinating. So the fact that, you know, you are at a loss for words, we're not completely at a loss for words, which is good. But just the idea that, you know, what you're thinking and feeling is what I think everybody goes through who doesn't sort of mentally, you know, think about this ahead of time. That's something that I'm cursed with doing, is like, well, I believe it can happen. If it can happen anywhere, it can happen where I am. If it can happen to somebody else, it can happen to me. I've always had that belief because, you know, just by my own life, I've never felt safe ever. Really. You know, did you have a safe childhood? No. You know, safe adulthood? Well, no. You know, so safety to me has always been an illusion. You know, so when I see governments doing these things, it doesn't surprise. Well, it surprises me in the fact that they are, but it doesn't surprise or shock me the fact that they do it because they can. Because that is, you know, so here's, tell me more. Tell me what you think. And then I got a couple questions for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as I said, it's just, I think a lot of people are heading to Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Coots, Alberta, I think the Freedom Convoy is going to start rolling out. I don't know if that means they're leaving. In Ottawa, they're not. I follow Pat, and they had a press release.
That's Pat King, right? A couple of these folks, yeah. So Pat King has Pat King Live, or with what's the title of his video? I'm trying to reach
Real Pat King Live, and
okay.
They had a press release yesterday, and they basically said, like, yeah, we're not going anywhere. The TD Bank is handing over. So there was another fund that was started, and they frozen that fund. And if your bank is aware that you are providing funds to this Freedom Convoy, they can freeze your bank accounts without any notice.
How is that even legal? How is this, considering what Black Lives Matter did? I mean, did you have Black Lives Matter protests and Antifa protests across Canada? Did you have cities burned and looted and stores broken into and all that kind of stuff? Or was that
didn't
affect?
No,
so that didn't affect
you
guys? Okay.
No, not really. But
all right.
Yeah, well, it's not. And I see that many people are posting that, I mean, Trudeau will spend the rest of his life in prison. And so he should.
For what, though? Who's going to convict him and who's going to arrest him?
Well, I don't know, because what he's doing is illegal. But I know that he's got many people charging him. Like, you heard about the prime minister who was the last living prime minister who was part of when they wrote the Charter of Rights. So
when was that? Who's this? Who are we talking about?
His name is Brian Peckford, I think it is.
Don't know who that is. That's a new name.
He's a prime minister, and he's the last living prime minister who was part of writing the Charter of Rights.
Okay. And what's the Charter of Rights then? What's that?
Well, it basically the assembly, the peaceful assembly. It's our Canadian Charter of Rights, right?
Is it like our Bill of Rights?
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously they're not following that. I think that's what you're getting to, right? Is what it sounds
no,
like.
No, so basically with this emergency order, we will lose every single right that we have. So what he's doing apparently is, especially with this emergency act, because there is no emergency.
Right.
There's nothing bad about the protests. Like, they're peaceful. They're feeding the homeless. They're cleaning the streets. They're peaceful. It's loving. And, you know, he's saying that they're not, and it's not true. And, of course, you've got the media who are lying, just like your media.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's part of the deal.
Well, it's a fascist cabal. You know, our line goes back to the beginning of COVID, and we can talk about that with you too. I think I kind of stepped on what you were just saying there for a second. But
no, I mean it's just I can't believe we're living through this.
Okay, believe it.
But
the first step is to believe it. You know, what are the steps of denial? what are the seven steps? You know, grief. I've forgotten those things. So those like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't know.
Acceptance.
I think I have more.
what is that thing? Maybe it applies to nations as well. Well, believe it, you know, accept it. We have to deal with it, and we have to do something about it. And I find it fascinating that, and I mentioned this before on several shows, that this is the first time I've ever actually timed something correctly in my life. You know, usually I'm off by several years, either too early or too late. But creating a citizen legislature at a time when the supposedly democratic governments of the world are becoming Marxist totalitarian dictators, you know, this is the perfect time for us to start writing our own laws and saying, here, this is how we consent to be governed. And what this means for Canada, I'm still trying to connect with the trucker, so any help you can give me is greatly appreciated. But the idea that these, you know, I mean, so my big question was, what is he trying to accomplish here? I mean, Trudeau's already lost. The fact that he's resorted to an emergency law that was meant for, what, probably nuclear war invasion, you know, Red Dawn, you know, the troops,
Trudeau,
you know, what's he doing?
Trudeau's part of the Great Reset, and he's part of that Klaus Schwab, whatever the frick his name is.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, tell me about that.
So he's written, there's a book called The Great Reset, which I bought, but I can't read it because my mind just can't do it.
Okay.
And so it's about radically changing, like, everything, like, just stripping away and just it's all about control and power is basically what it is. And it's not, you know, it didn't just come up in the last 2 years. This has been talked about and written about for many years. So Trudeau is the puppet to Klaus Schwab or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, Schwab, Klaus Schwab. Not to be confused with Charles Schwab, who has the investment company here in the United States and I guess around the world.
No.
But I want to make sure everybody knows Klaus Schwab is this German wacko.
He's the creator of the World Economic. Whatever it's called.
I think it's World Economic. Those are the same folks, the World Economic Forum, that held the rehearsal for COVID back in October of 2019, so they get all their ducks in a row so they could impose COVID on us, you know, at the end of 2019, you know, starting in November.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that guy.
Yeah.
So COVID, as we know,
it's
is a marketing
all,
scheme.
There's a whole bunch of billionaires that get on their fancy planes and go, and they sit and they drink and whatever they do, and they basically say how they're going to run the world, and Bill Gates is one of them, and Pierre Trudeau is another one of them.
So Pierre Trudeau is Justin Trudeau's dad, just because I remember Pierre Trudeau when I was a kid. But the same family, right? I mean, he's the kid, allegedly.
Yes, he's the kid.
Or
so
Fidel
Margaret
Castro.
Margaret Trudeau was married to Trudeau, and well, she, you know, had the likes of Justin or Castro, and then she married some Kemper guy and has the son Kyle Kemper, who is completely speaking against Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
There's a podcast called Freedom and Love, and you wouldn't. I mean, it's like, wow, they are two different people.
Well, I mean, you can have two different people within families. I mean, you know, kids are always, you know, can be quite different.
Yeah, yeah. I've got,
you know, look at some of the famous, like Jimmy Carter, Billy Carter. look at even the Brandon family. You had Bo Brandon and you had Hunter Brandon. Bo Brandon apparently was a, you know, decent guy, served in the military. You know, he got cancer, allegedly, but from what a friend of mine was telling me, from cell phones. That blastoma thing that is like the health crisis that hasn't really been broadcast yet because cell phones are, you know, making too much money for people, just like COVID vaccines. But Bo Brandon was a pretty decent guy from everything I've heard. Hunter, of course, is another story. within the same family.
A lot of them have gone from, for example, my understanding is our premier went from making $3 million to $50 million during pandemic. They're all cashing out. Like, they're all making millions and millions. Like, I think it's trillions of dollars that the elites have made over COVID. It's ridiculous. And, you know, and poor people that built a business to retire on, you know, 30 years or 40 years, lost everything. I don't know. I have no words.
You're right at this. I what you're saying makes perfect sense. But as you're talking, of course, my mind is always, you know, it's the ADHD, you know, conflict. So I was thinking of what I'm going to call reset restitution. And so what I'm thinking is, when this is all proven to be the huge thick plot it is, that civil asset forfeiture, and this is all, I'll be talking to, you know, this is something you can talk to Canadians about. I'll be talking to Australians, New Zealanders, Israelis, you know, Brits, all these folks. But because of all the assets that were stolen through COVID, through the government corporate COVID mandate, hoax, lockdown, everything else like that, that the people who gained, you know, if a drug dealer, you know, makes money selling drugs, then you can take everything they have. It's called civil asset forfeiture. You take their house, their car, you take everything, bank accounts, the whole bit, because that was used in a criminal enterprise. So if we can prove that these folks were using this stuff in a criminal enterprise, you know, then they would be subject to civil asset forfeiture. So if you want to get the money back from Trudeau and these billionaires who are basically, you know, using extortion on the people, you know, through mandates to coerce them to get vaccines and pay for it with their own tax dollars, your own tax dollars, then reset restitution might be an interesting concept to start getting out there and seeing what happens with it. So, yeah, there's a lot of fascinating things we can do with this. We just have to, you know, open the minds up and see what we can do. But, yeah, but here's the thing, though. He's lost the consent of the people. He has no constituency. All he has is his globalists. You know, I mean, if you believe the government, as Thomas Jefferson said, the just powers of government, not the powers of government, because they can assume powers that aren't just, but the just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. In other words, we consent to the powers that government is exercising, you know, over the people. So in order to, you know, basically keep the order so we can pursue life, liberty and happiness. That's what government's supposed to do. The biggest duty of government is to protect us from government. You know, so you have to have a self-regulating government, and we do it on top of that. If that government, you know, serves as an end for government itself, if the purpose of government is to live for and expand government, you know, and the powers of government, they've lost their mandate. They've lost their consent to be governed. And so what is he going to win? I think he's already lost. I mean, I try to look ahead on these things. So he's already lost. He's lost the people. He's lost the confidence. He's lost everything. Even if he wins, even if he breaks up the truckers and arrests them all, it's like Brandon. Brandon has locked up everybody who was in the Capitol building January 6th. All right. Did he win? No. Everybody hates him. His approval ratings are the lowest in history, which is surprising. He has any approval rating of all because he shouldn't be there. He's illegal.
I know.
You know,
but
so,
I also read. Go ahead. I read that Durham there. What was it with Hillary Clinton that she definitely spied on him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spied on Trump, absolutely. Oh yeah, didn't spy on Brandon. I mean, you know, but yeah. But I was explaining this in the first half hour. If you get a chance to go back and check out, but I think they're all. You know, Bob Barr is a deep state person. He was the Attorney General. John Durham came out with the investigation now. Why didn't he come up with this before the 2020 election? He certainly had all the information. You know, it would take 6 years to investigate this. Give me a break. We all knew. 6 months. It should have taken maximum 6 months. Bring in the people, interview them, say, look, you're going to go to jail. We're going to get immunity. If you get immunity, you're going to talk. If you don't talk, we're going to throw your ass in jail. And that's how you do it. You know, mess around with this kind of stuff, but he waited so long. He waited until it was almost inconsequential because we're coming up on, you know, now it doesn't really matter because Brandon is so unpopular. The midterms are going to be interesting. Democrats, you know, have to steal to win, which they might very well do because the geldings, look at our, we have a Senate Republican majority in Congress right now. It's 50 to 49. They're in power because it's tragic circumstances, but it's circumstances nonetheless, due to the fact that I think Senator Lujan got a COVID shot that caused a stroke. He's recovering, which is good. But during the time that he's recovering, the Senate has a majority of Republicans, and yet they've done nothing with it.
Yeah.
Now's the time to do something. And so I made a press release on this. If you think the geldings in our country are going to do something, you know, when they don't have the majority, when they do have the majority, what makes you think they're going to do something, you know, after the midterms when they have the majority? They've still got the majority. So what about Canada? Let me ask you about Candace Bergen and Pierre Poilievre? Poilievre.
Yeah.
Pierre Poilievre and the conservatives in Canada. We hear nothing about the conservative, the opposition. Is it a loyal opposition? Is it a fighting opposition? Tell me about those.
No, they're fighting. They're fighting.
Okay.
I mean, there's quite a few of them. There's Pierre. There's a woman. I can't remember her name. Roman Baber, Maxime Bernier. I mean, they're fighting hard, you know.
Okay.
There's lots. I mean, we're definitely not the fringe minority, that's for sure. I think the entire world is watching and we've got lots of support. You know, but I think this weekend's going to be, I mean, it's been big every weekend, and I think this weekend will probably be really big. And I don't think you guys have it there, but it's a holiday for us on Monday. It's Family Day.
What? Wait, stop right there. What, Family Day?
Yeah.
And what does one do on Family Day? Is it a day for people that don't have kids to, you know, make a family? I mean, what is Family Day?
It's actually a holiday. I mean, the places
really?
Are closed and it's considered, it's been a few years now that they've had it. And
whose idea was this? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. It's called Family Day. It's a holiday on Monday. So, I can't remember who put it in place, but yeah, it's a day off for people and for
what
families
do they do?
To get together. Just, you know, families get together and have do whatever, you know, goes.
I mean, that's,
goes.
We have a family day. It's called Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
Saturday too, if you want, but that's the family. Sunday is the family day. Yeah. We have a family day.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they have a singles day?
Yeah, no, they don't.
No singles day?
No.
Why not?
Day.
You should start one. Those singles, Canada yeah. Singles Day. So is
right.
there like a, is there a traditional family day dish? You know, we have turkey for Thanksgiving, ham for Christmas, and ham for Easter. At least
yeah.
I remember Christmas goose is the English tradition. I don't know if it's Canadian tradition or not. I think it is. But as I remember it explained to me, my Canadian relatives a long time ago, you know, way back in Toronto, eh? Yeah, when we talked about these things. Yeah, it was turkey for Thanksgiving, goose for Christmas, and ham for Easter. Those are the national
yeah.
dishes. You know, you don't do that anymore? Is it turkey for all three?
No.
Oh.
No, no.
So what's family day? Pizza? Chinese food? I mean, come on. What?
I don't know. I haven't really, I haven't, just another day, really.
This
so,
is funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, yeah, and I know that, what's his name, Trudeau, Don Jr., he talks a lot about what's going on, which is great. And we've got a lot of coverage, you know, throughout the world. And I think we just need a lot of prayers and you know, this Nazi, you know, he's got to go down. Like, he will go down, and I think got to keep the hope. And I'm just going to keep following the Freedom Convoy because that's where we really get our hope from today. You know, anybody that's been there has said so many great things, you know, the love that's there and how people are uniting and hugging and smiling and getting together. And yeah.
Well, I got a treat for you. Bernadette's on the line, Bernadette Pittman, who's part of Northwest Florida Bikers for Trump, Boots on the Ground. So I want to bring her on right now so you guys can chat a little bit and make a connection here. So Bernadette's going to be doing all kinds of things. We'll find out in the third hour, you know, after the second hour here with what's going on with our D.C. convoy. But Bernadette, you're on with Laura Abbalese in up near Hamilton. So, yeah, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We also have R.C. Pittman.
Oh, he's
Brad,
here too?
R.C. Pittman. I'm on the call.
You're on. Okay, so if you guys want to call on separate phone calls, I got plenty of lines here if you want to do a separate. That way you don't have to speak in the same phone. But if it works for both of you on the same phone, I'm fine with that too. So Brendan and RC, welcome to the show. I've actually have you in the third hour, but if you want to stick around now for a little bit now, we've got to, well, actually, I mean, I can change it around. If you guys want to talk this next half hour, we can do that too. So it's really up to you. But we've got Laura for a few more minutes. And so I'll let you guys connect, you know, here with a Canadian, you know, we're talking about what's going on in Ottawa right now. So, yeah, I turn it over to you guys for a little bit. All right, Bernadette.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I missed where you were from.
Northwest Florida.
Oh, okay, you're in Florida. I tried to escape to Florida, and I got turned away at the border.
30%
if you want to leave. Yeah.
So
I'm near Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah, Toronto's where I'm from. Go ahead, RC. I'm sorry.
It's a lot warmer. It's a lot warmer than where we're.
Oh yeah, we've had some extremely cold temperatures this year. I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, damn, it's been extremely cold, and it just keeps getting colder. I went for a walk on the beach, and I thought my fingers were gonna fall off.
Do you have any questions? Let me ask you guys right now. Did you want to talk in this next hour, or do you want to come back at 8 o'clock? What works for you guys, RC and
Bernadette? Yeah, we'll come back at 8 o'clock. I just wanted to convert. I wanted to just pop. You had sent me two messages to pop on.
Yeah, please feel free. Well, do you have any questions for what's going on in Canada? I mean, Laura's, you know, right up there in the thick of it. You know, so I'll let you guys chat a little bit, like I say, because she only has a few minutes, I think. So that's why I'll let you guys go.
She only has a few minutes. So I'm going to
let
you
so all your questions, feel free.
I'm all for y'all.
Yeah, I'm on.
Go ahead. Talk to the woman in Canada. Do you have any questions for her?
Basically, what we're endeavoring to do, we notice, and I'm watching Fox on the telly right now, but I notice that they are actually confiscating, shutting down the monetary system for hundreds of people there along the on the convoys, and it's mostly just the people up front that they can get to.
Yeah, what they're doing is, so they had the $10 million seized with GoFundMe. They had released 1 million of that, so they had 9 million. So they seized, well, I'm not sure if people got their money back or not. Then there was another system, and apparently that's now been frozen, and TD Bank is handing over, I don't know how many millions of dollars, over to the court system. They are saying, so for
what we're seeing is that they're actually freezing personal accounts.
Yes. Well, so what they said yesterday now is that if this emergency order does pass, they've invoked it, but if it passes, yes, they can freeze our accounts without any notice. At the same time, if the bank says, okay, well, we see that you're donating to the convoy, they can freeze, which I don't know how and why and how that's legal, but that's what's happening. And so I'm being very cautious because, I mean, clearly I don't want my bank frozen. And, you know, it's like we're just, I don't know. It's like, where do I turn? Where do you go? Now, last night I watched a press release with some of the leaders of the Freedom Convoy, and I think they've started something else. I'd have to watch again because I didn't write down the website where you can get information. I think what happens is you can directly, I think, get a, you know, sort of support a trucker with what he needs. And they're also in Ottawa, they're going around taking cash donations, like a collection, and instead of going through the system, they're doing a collection, kind of like what they do in the church, and then they're supporting the truckers that way.
Okay, what I was referring to, they're actually freezing, like the truckers themselves, personal bank accounts for the people that they can identify, that are up front, that are in the mix of the battle, that those people, they're absolutely freezing personal bank accounts from those folks.
And they're removing insurance on their vehicles as well. I don't know if that's part of the emergency act that would take place if really what's happened. This is all. I wasn't in touch with social media for a few days. I actually turned myself off, and then so much was going on yesterday that I was following. So, you know, I do have I do work for a living, so I was extremely busy yesterday, so I was trying to catch up as much as I could. So yes, that is correct, but I don't know if they've started that and if they've or if that's going to happen once the emergency order takes place.
Well, they're announcing on Fox that it's already happening.
Yeah, so possibly. I'm not sure. I have to. If you're on Facebook or even Instagram, the Real Pat King is where I get a lot of my information, which is the real information. So I'm trying to catch up on his live talks. I just watched his latest, which was the press release, but he didn't talk about that last night. So
he's on my Facebook page. Well, he's on my page if you guys want to find him. Yeah. Go ahead, RC.
What we're endeavoring to do, and we're trying to, we're staying just as far inside the line of the law as we can possibly stay. For example, the interstate, minimum speed on the interstate is 45 miles an hour. If you come up to a traffic jam like we see in our big cities, you don't do 45 miles an hour. It absolutely slows to a crawl going through Atlanta, sometimes going through the I-85 corridor up through Charlotte. I've sat in one spot for over an hour. So basically what we're doing is with our convoy is the visibility and the narrative that we're trying to put out. We're not terrorists. We're not breaking any laws. All the scale houses have been notified by email and by personal voice, conversations. The trucks that are going into D.C. on our convoy, most of them will be bobtail. I'm sure there'll be a few with trailers mixed in, but for the most part, there's I forget the law now, 309A or something in the DOT code. But what we're doing is we're trying to stay within the laws that we can use. Once we get into the D.C. area, anybody knows if a policeman pulls one person over, there's going to be a traffic jam because everybody's going to be slowing down. And if the guy in front of you is running 45, the person behind him is only going to be running 44 and a half. And this domino effect still, back in line, everything's going to slow to a complete stop. With the amount of trucks that we are planning on going in and around the 495, the 395 loop, what we're seeing is if we leave the one lane open and we stay, basically in the outside lane, emergency vehicles, we don't want to stop nobody from receiving medical help. But what we want to do is we want to bring attention to the fact that these mandates. Now, Florida, we have an outstanding governor in Ron DeSantis. We haven't had to deal with a lot of the federal mandates that are unconstitutional. Therefore, our governor, ignores them and refuses to abide by them. So the mask mandate, ma'am.
Yep.
Laura.
Yeah, but anyway. The mask mandates, this vaccine mandate that's totally unconstitutional. You can't tell me what to do with my own body, my own health. If you could do that, we wouldn't have any suicides in the world because they'd mandate that you can't kill yourself. I mean, come on, guys, let's be real.
Yeah. I want to hold you up, RC, just for the sake of, because like I say, Laura has a limited amount of time here, and I want to stick with Canadian issues. Then I'm going to give you the entire hour afterwards. Or you can stick around now. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I'm real spontaneous about this kind of stuff. But I want to make sure that we get Laura's information covered. The opposition, the premiers, we have Governor DeSantis here in Florida. We have other governors, Kristi Noem up in South Dakota. We have people that are going to oppose, Brandon's illegal mandates from Brandon's illegal government. All right, but what about Canada? What's going on? You've got premiers, you've got I think some of the provinces, I think Ontario, Quebec, Manitoba, Saskatchewan have already suspended their mandates. What can you tell us about what's going on there? And how are the premiers, which are equivalent to our governors here, helping out? That's something that RC and Bernadette can use in terms of working with our own governor in terms of what's going to happen in D.C. When they get there.
Well,
what's going on with your premiers?
There's premiers that are against it, so they're not going to vote against this emergency act, so they're speaking out. So I can't remember how many votes they need, in order for this to pass. But and I don't know how, our premier apparently is supportive, which, doesn't show me. So, but they're the same as, like, they're removing all mandates in those places. Ontario, March 1st, is removing the vaccine mandate, but not the mask mandate. Now, I personally haven't worn a mask for 2 years, but and I'm not vaccinated, and nor will I ever be, because it's my body, my choice, and I don't even get a flu shot. So why would I put something that I don't need? I'm a healthy 54-year-old woman. So, yeah, of course. I mean, there's lots of opposition. We're not the fringe minority. We're really big, and we're loud, and we're loud as, but loud as in peaceful loud, and based out of Ottawa, we're gonna win this fight. So let's pray, and I'm just praying. I lose hope. Like yesterday, as I was saying to you, Greg, I had a really bad night. I mean, a bad day. I was upset and I'm scared. I'm especially because I have family members that believe this crap, and I don't know how to get through to them. And all I can do
is the same
pray.
Problem. Yeah, we have the
yeah,
same problem.
I know. It's the problem that.
Yeah. Things are getting exciting here. I've got Bianca on the line, too, and he's in St. Louis. He's Louisiana.
So,
he's right between, all of us. So go ahead, Laura.
I have to run. I have an online course this morning. but thanks for having me on, and good luck with everywhere. And the first place I'm hitting the minute I can travel is Florida.
Well, listen, I can get you connected with RC and Bernadette and any of the folks that are on the show. And in fact, we're all one big happy Action Radio family. And so it's these international connections. I'll get you all with Jen Clark in Australia. And when she calls in, hopefully we'll be taking part in writing an Australian Bill of Rights, because they don't have one. So this is where this is going. And ideally I'll have, maybe five nations on the phone at the same time. One day we can all talk to each other. And so things are going to get very exciting around here. Yeah, yeah. Laura, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. And you have a good week.
Yeah, have a great morning.
All right, you take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now. All right, let's get Bianca in the line. Then I have a new caller, so I'll get to my new caller in just a little bit too. All right, there we go. So, Bianca. And RC and Bernadette, you guys can stick around for the whole rest of the show if you want. We're going to get Josie here in a few minutes with our Latina report. And you've probably talked to her before, but Josie and Bianca are regulars and they call a lot. And of course, Bianca doesn't have a regular report yet. I'm going to get you one. Dude, I got to get you to do to some kind of the Bianca report. But what's your take on this so far, Bianca? What do you think?
Canada is a real live example of an emerging communist nation.
Yeah.
If you read their gun laws,
mm-hmm.
if you read their gun laws, it's just it's really, really. Yeah, you can have a legal gun, but you can't bring it out the house. So this is all.
That always cracks me up. Yeah, rights. We have the same problem in D.C. Rights end at your doorway. Really? So the rights don't apply in the rest of the world? Yeah. Okay. We talked about this with Jen Clark in Australia. For listeners, if you go back to the show from last Thursday, she says, we didn't know this was coming. We had no idea the government would do this kind of stuff. And, of course, all of us gun owners here in the United States said, we knew. We knew exactly what was coming. Because as soon as you steal the guns, it goes from there. Let me get a comment from RC and Bernadette. You guys have separate lines now, so you're both live, so you can use your individual phones. I'm sure you feel the same way, that once Australia and Canada, and England gave up their guns, this is just the next step. So it wasn't a surprise to you guys, was it? Or was it? RC, Bernadette? I know you guys are there. Bianca, I'm still broadcasting, right?
Yeah, you still broadcasting.
They might have muted their lines. Okay. Well, if you guys want to listen, that's okay, too. Believe me.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Welcome back. If you want to leave and just listen, just let me know so that I know. I won't call on you at that time. I'll just, pick a time and we'll get you back. But I'll leave your lines live so you can join us. The whole gun issue, did you see what we saw? I mean, I'm sure you did. that once the government takes the guns, you know, we said this for decades, once the government takes the guns, that's the canary in the coal mine. That is your warning. When the guns go first, you know, every other draconian totalitarian dictatorship measure can follow. What do you think?
Well, if you're talking to me,
Bernie finally got
my phone working, right? gun laws, I'm going to be real honest with you. Gun laws, the Second Amendment is and forever will be my gun law. Any additions, subtractions that has been placed on the Second Amendment is 100% totally unconstitutional. A lot of people don't realize, and a lot of people haven't done enough studying to realize, probably 75% of the wording, okay, and we're talking about wording, what words mean, what words apply to, 75% of the wording of our Constitution, our original Constitution, was taken directly from the Word of God, okay? And this is just a small example. In the Second Amendment, the words, and I understand that back in, I think it was back in the late early 60s, late 50s, the Supreme Court at that time, okay, the words shall not. According to the Bible, a shall not, when God said shall not, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Those words were an absolute. Shall not was an absolute. Well, our government has come to trying to change the meaning of these words to maybe. Shall not doesn't mean maybe. Shall not is an absolute. It means don't do it. The next word behind all those shall nots is infringe. Now, there's two ways you can infringe. You can add to it, or you can take away from it. This is straight out of Webster's dictionary. Thou shall not infringe. That means the very first amendment or attachment that they put to our Second Amendment, to our right to bear arms, the very first one that they, when the first time they fooled with it, it was unconstitutional. It was totally against the law. The right to bear arms, that don't just mean gun. We're talking about bows and arrows and sticks and rocks and clubs and knives. A person gets in a fight, they're going to, you know, most of the time you're going to grab up the first thing that you can do to try to defend yourself. Let's get away from it meaning guns, and let's go to the full meaning of the fact that without us standing in the breach, without our gun rights, without our right to bear arms, it's just like you said, once that is gone, the United States of America has been compromised. We will not be a independent, free nation. Once the gun laws are gone, folks, you have nothing left. What country are we going to run to? Where are we going to go? Once this becomes so oppressive, who's going to stand up?
Yeah. Well, I got a big question for you in terms of reasonable restrictions and other stuff. I got a new caller I want to try and get to. Pianki, why don't you make a comment on that? And then I got a big question for
Well, just like I'm reading here, and he's correct, just like I'm reading here where they talk about restricted and prohibited firearms in Canada. Mm-hmm. The end verbiage here is this. They must be kept in the home and cannot be transported outside it except under very specific circumstances such as a target practice. If we ever get the right administration in Congress, some of these restrictions that's already imposed in the United States against the Second Amendment, they need to be reversed and threw out in a trash can or something. We need to get back to, just like this gentleman said, the original verbiage, which is plain and clear.
Well, I'm going to ask if that's going to be part of the DC thing, but I've got a new caller here, 337 area code. And so as I do to all my new callers, you know, if you're a good caller, you're going to stick around. If you're not, you know, I've got your phone number. You're going to be banned from the show. So make it a good call. And let's see who we've got here, 337 area code. First name and where are you calling from?
This is Kip Coltrane. I'm calling from Sulphur, Louisiana.
Hey, Kip, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
You got a comment for us, or you just want to hang out here a little bit and see what's going on?
Kip's actually part of our 8 o'clock call.
Oh, he is? Oh, you're early. All right, do you want to stick around, or do you want to call back at 8 o'clock? You can stick around.
I'm in South Louisiana.
Yeah. Okay. Well. First of all, I'm glad to have you on the show. And secondly, well, if you want to mute your phone and listen, that's fine. If you want to contribute, that's fine too. And of course, at 8 o'clock, that was what we had scheduled. But like I say, I'm always open. I'm flexible here. I'm the boss. So if you want to talk early, fine with me. I'll just adjust the notes at the end of the show. Let me ask a question here. That the reason I brought up the gun issue and the whole idea of you know, rights. There's something that goes on in Canada. They don't have the same rights. They don't have a Bill of Rights the same way. They have this emergency law that Trudeau's trying to invoke, and I'm not sure whether the Parliament.
Greg,
has
it's
to,
already been passed.
But already has been passed. Well, okay, so now he did
yes,
it. Did,
it has
did
been
Parliament
passed.
Pass
it just flashed across the news screen. The emergency powers have been enacted.
Oh, okay. That answers my question then, because if either house doesn't pass it, it doesn't take effect. So both houses have passed it. Do you know what the vote was? Did they say how much of the Canadian Parliament?
No, it was just a flash across the screen that it did pass, and Trudeau has enacted the emergency powers.
Okay, so now this is a whole different level. Okay, so now this it makes sense in a way, because the only way that Trudeau would be in power is if he had a majority of the parliament with him. So the fact that the majority of parliament are liberals, you know, as opposed to the conservatives under Candace Bergen, it's an interesting name, the same as an actress in our country here. But the fact that it's the same thing with Brandon. You know, if Brandon wants to get something through Congress, you know, you've got the Marxist Democrats and the so far gelding Republicans. Oh, by the way, the Republicans have a majority in the Senate right now, 50-49. But you'll notice they've done absolutely nothing with it. And that's another question. But RC and Bernadette, I don't know if you're going to make this part of or whether maybe this is too technical a legal argument for the rally. But this is something we've talked a lot about on the show. The idea that the courts came up with a couple of doctrines, reasonable restrictions on your rights, a compelling state interest, which they have to use strict scrutiny to invoke. So in other words, if they prove that you don't, you know, that it's more important for the public good, which of course I don't think exists. The public good is based on, you know, the accumulation of individual decisions. But this whole idea that the government can kind of, well, infringe if it's reasonable, or if the situation is bad enough, or it's a public health emergency, they can take away our rights. Are you going to make that part of this to go into that, or is that a bit much, you know, a bit too technical for a rally? And Bernadette too. Yeah, RC, go ahead. What do you think?
They've already done that. The mask mandates, the vaccine mandates, that's their they consider it their reasonable service to the whole United States.
They think that's reasonable.
And Kip Kip can go into more into detail as to our main objective, all we want to do is Kip, tell him what our ultimate goal is. I'll leave that one up to you.
Yeah, now that you're here. Yeah, Kip, welcome back.
Yes, sir. Good morning. You know, I think in the past 2 years, there's been so much with the COVID vax mandates, and obviously it's got a whole plethora of problems with it. We don't have the whole rest of it there. Maybe we could go on talking about those, but just to high point that the psychological effect, the physical effect, the financial effect, the effect of uncertainty, all these things. And when you start to talk about the things RC just mentioned, if you've been paying attention for the past 14 years, it makes it all make sense. Is the virus real, pure? But what about the timing of this thing? I like to call it the election infection. That's bad enough, but
that's
for,
good.
For everything
good.
That's been done, for the damages that's been done, the collateral problems that it's caused, the positioning that it gave, where those who in power positions were so weak, the only way that they could get a position of power back, in my opinion, was to position themselves through an emergency, because they weren't doing well in the polls. They weren't in a position politically where they were going to hang on, because people finally realized what the deal was. But I think in so many ways, when you look at these vax mandates and you see, again, in my opinion, it was just all a matter of positioning. And what I find ironic, too, is in 2 years, you've decided to sequester me in my home. You've decided to tell me that I can't go in this business. You've decided to tell me that I can't buy this at this place unless I wear your mask, that I need to get these shots that don't work, all these things. You tell me, you tell me, you tell me, and you punish me, you punish me, you punish me. But what I find ironic is that we never punish the people where it came from. We've never talked about that. We have found ways to destroy.
We have on this show in the fact that I've been wondering why the Constitution never came with penalties. You know, if you don't pay a parking ticket, ultimately, you know, you can have your driver's license suspended if you get enough of them. Yet if you violate the Constitution and destroy the rights and property of millions upon millions of Americans, you know, there's no specific crime for that. There's no statute. There's no anything. So I don't know how much you know about Action Radio. First of all, you're a great guest. I'm really glad that that Bernadette and RC invited you on the show. You're welcome to call anytime. But what we do here is we write citizen legislation. In fact, I put out a press release. I'll get to this a little bit later in this show. But I set up Action Radio as the next evolution beyond talk radio, where any citizen can post a bill, and if enough of us, you know, get behind it, it can go to media, it can go to Congress, go to state legislatures, local governments, wherever is appropriate, and maybe all three, that we can actually change these things. So if you had constitutional penalties, or if you had, you know, violations that come with, you know, fines and jail time. There's one, the closest one I know, I forgot what the title is, was chapter 242-243, that if you deny or disparage rights, you know, if there's a conspiracy to, you know, I should look this, I'll look it up real quickly while we're talking. But if you violate the ability to exercise or enjoy a right, that's a civil right. That's a civil rights violation. There actually are fines and imprisonment for that. We need to apply that to the politicians. I'll look it up real quick. I think it's Title 18. But there is a way to do that. It hasn't been done before, but that doesn't mean it can't be done now. Do you know we should hear a bit about your background, too, because I'm curious, you know, just a bit about yourself to sort of give me a better idea of where we can go with this. But are you familiar with that chapter? Do you know what I'm talking about or no?
Actually, I think Rick Martin – it sounds a lot like what he advised everyone to do yesterday.
What's that? Rick
Martin?
Who's
he? Constitutional Law Group. The guy is spot on. He's a constitutionalist. He's I guess you would classify him as a pro se attorney, because he's not a practicing attorney with a license. But the dude's spot on. You really need to educate yourself to his teachings if you haven't already. Again, that's Rick Martin at Constitutional Law Group. You know, Rick had posted yesterday, and somehow or another I picked it up, and he said that for yesterday, and it could be today even, he said everybody needs to go straight down there and go ahead and file this particular document at their local district attorney's office, and I'll kind of explain the document. I'll explain the scenario, and I really won't go into detail on the document, but let's just say, for all practical purposes, that it was an example of, I want to file charges against all of my politicians because they lied to me. I want to file charges against all of my politicians because they've been stealing from me because they said we're going to do $60,000 worth of taxes, and we actually did $600,000. The effect and the purpose of what his documentation provided and for yesterday's action was exactly what you're talking about, the checks and balance system. So had everyone in the world, in the United States, let me back up, had everyone in the United States yesterday seen his post and gone done what he did, then today every citizen in the United States would have bona fide charges against their politicians. Now, something that's important to know is that politicians have to have an indemnity bond. to be able to be in office and all that stuff. And so,
yeah, see, I hate to hold you up, but now you're getting a little complex for what's going to we're able to do in a rally. I mean, this is going to be really great stuff. I want to take this up on a future show, but it strikes me as like sovereign citizen stuff, and the you know the exceptions the exceptions and these technical things. You know, it's like people that say, well, I don't pay taxes because they're voluntary. Well, those folks end up in jail. So the practical point, I think, you know, there are things that are legal but not practical. And so what I want to talk something. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to. Well, I am trying to hold you up a little bit. Just I think we're going to go down a path that's going to take us away from the D.C. rally, which is what I really want to talk about. But this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, something the law I was talking about, this is something that that R.C. and Bernadette might be able to bring to the truck convoy going to Washington, because this is something that you can probably use. And Kip, I want your opinion on this. 18 U.S. Code Section 241, Conspiracy Against Rights. Okay, it says if two or more persons conspire, and that would be Brandon, you know, and everybody else in D.C. that works under Brandon, okay, injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district, that would be the District of Columbia, you know, in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, or if two or more persons, well, this is really the Matthew Shepard law. This is where this came from. Matthew Shepard, who was killed, you know, and there's a whole bunch of dispute about that. I'm not going to go his whole case, but they turned it into a hate crime because he was gay. Okay, that's where this comes from. But it doesn't matter where it comes from. What matters is what it says. And what it says is if two or more persons conspire, that would be anybody, you know, any two people in government conspire, you know, to get rid of, to limit the exercise or enjoyment of any right. That's a felony. Okay. It says they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if, you know, a death results, you know, well, what about the death result? Well, I mean, Ashley Babbitt, you know, Michael J. Byrd, the lieutenant who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt, could be tried under this conspiracy against rights. Okay. So this 18 U.S. Code 241, and the companion is 18 Code U.S. 242. And pull this one up too. And I'll post this on Facebook and I'll give this to Bernadette and RC and see if this is something you guys want to keep with you. 18 U.S. Code 242, deprivation of rights under color of law. This is for law enforcement. Whoever, under the color of law, under the color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district, that's D.C., to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities, that's from the 14th Amendment, secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or to different punishments, pains, or penalties on account of such... Okay, anyway, same thing. It's the same thing. It's jail and fines. It's jail and fines. Those are two things that might be
really
handy. RC?
Where's the accountability? Where is the accountability? You know, who, here again, you're saying Congress, there is no accountability once you sit down in that congressional seat or that senator seat or that presidential seat. There is absolutely no accountability. There's nobody enforcing. The rule of law has been thrown out the damn window. There's no enforcement of the laws that you actually just read, and you're leaving out three of the most. You're leaving out three of the most important words. We are endowed with life, liberty, and what you alluded to, the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes me happy? You know, what makes me happy is for the government to get the hell out of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I pay my taxes. I will perform my reasonable service towards the federal government. But other than that, I don't need them involved in my life. I don't need them involved in my finances. How about the one that they're going to go in and look at, anybody with over $500 in their bank account. I experienced that particular law, but it was on the tune. I went down, I went to purchase some materials for one of my job sites. And I realized once I got there that I didn't have a check. Well, the bill for those materials was over $7,000. Well, I've got a business credit card. I whipped it out, gave it to the man. There was over $30,000 in the account, and the bill was $7,800, and the card came back declined. It came back declined two or three times. We got on the phone with my bank. And here's the catcher. They had to ask me, and they had the audacity to ask me, what's this money being used for?
All right, so wait a minute. So now, do you think this is – and I got Josie in the line, too. I'm going to get to her. We actually have a Latina report now, so we're gonna jump to her, and she can talk about this or whatever she wants. But you know what this sounds like? This sounds like they've already done what Canada's done. They've already gone to the banks. This whole $600, $500, you know, let's investigate people, they have no right to ask you what you're doing with the money. It's not their money. So do you think they've already preemptively gone to the banks and done something through – you know, whatever, justice
yes,
or
the banking
or,
system okay, has been compromised.
Okay, all right, that's what I was wondering. Yeah,
I'm a living example. The bank system has been compromised, and I did. I told them it ain't none of your damn business what I'm doing with this money. But just so I don't interact. I was so embarrassed in front of this man at the company. I was so embarrassed that
right.
my card had been declined and that they're asking me what I want to use my own personal money for.
So they declined it to make you call, right? This is why they declined it, because obviously you had the money. So the only purpose of declining
it. The money was there. The money was there. All my codes and all my identification, my last four digits of my social security number, they proved who I was. And then
they national news.
And then the bank had to call the MasterCard.
Okay.
And give the MasterCard permission to release it.
You guys are too close together. I'm getting an echo.
Why they did it.
I'm getting an echo on your phone. You guys are too close together. Just like sit social distance, 6 feet apart. Otherwise, we're going to get you both on the echoing on each other's phones.
Oh, echoing.
That's okay.
Yeah, that part right there. Yes, the Federal Reserve that insures all of these bank accounts. What is it, up to $100,000? That has been compromised. Whether it was done legally, which I doubt it was, because it's not legal, or whether they have done this with one of those executive orders. That we hear so much about, but we don't never know exactly how the hell they came about.
Other than it was a pigmentation
in somebody's mind.
This should be an issue at the rally. You know, we need bank freedom. We need financial freedom. I mean, I would definitely, this is something we should probably be writing a bill on before you get there. I got Josie on the line. Normally I play a theme for her, but in the interest of time and the fact that I have five of you on the line right now, Bianchi, Bernadette, Kip, RC, and Josie, let's get right to it. Josie, do you want to jump into this conversation or do you want to tell us what's going on south of the border? Because I'm just curious. Anyway, Josie, welcome back.
Yeah, I can jump on the conversation. Good morning, everybody. That's what's happened with communists. That's how it starts. They want to track your money, and before you know it, they want to freeze your money. And that's what happened to a lot of people in Venezuela. Well, everybody in Venezuela, I should say. I still have very rich friends that they froze all their money, and they can barely get $500 out every 3 months now, like they punish them. So in order for these people to travel, they have to suffer, not spend none of their money, and they keep it kind of like a secret in order for them to get every 3 months, and within a couple of years, they travel to America. But it's very sad, and that's the plan that Obama has, because Obama's running our country right now. They want to freeze all our money. They want to know what we're doing with our money. And they're criminals, and they are going to be going to prison, all of these people. No
That's
doubt
tough.
About it.
Just to introduce Josie, she's from Nicaragua originally, grew up under communism, so she knows what she's talking about. You know, I was born in Canada, in Toronto, and by way of Australia, came to the United States as a legal immigrant. As did Josie. And so, you find immigrants are some of the people with the strongest sense of rights. It's like that Romanian, you know, truck driver in Canada. He's like, you know, I saw this before. Mm-hmm. We saw this with the Ceausescu's. So I want to talk about this for a minute because this is really interesting. Josie, let me ask you this about the tracing of money, because, you know, communist governments, you know, somebody has to fund them. And so are they just openly stealing the money? Are they tracking? Are they doing both? This is like they're following Trudeau, and I think Brandon is going to follow this same playbook. So what can we expect from the tracking and controlling of people's personal money? Josie?
What the communists did in Chile when I was in Chile, and also they did it in Nicaragua where most of my family lives. What they did in Chile especially, which is a little bit more advanced country than Nicaragua, they were tracing the money and tracking the money. Before you know it, they started taking the money away from people, and not Venezuela, because I lived through it. I live in Chile, 1973. So they start taking the money, and they're trying to, what they do is they try to attack the rich people so the rich people can flee out of the country. And this is what they're doing right now in New York, New Jersey, L.A. They're attacking them in every way so they can flee their homes. And it's been going on for a while now. So sooner or later, they want to get their hands on everybody's money. Not just the rich, everybody, so you can be dependent on the government. And that's part of the communist regime that they are bringing in this country, and also in Canada, too. And many people are saying that Trudeau is the son of Fidel Castro. And we
yeah, we talked about that. Even Tucker Carlson said that. Yeah, that's kind of fascinating. Well, I'm calling him Little Justin Castro. We've got a lot of people on the line right now, so to give everybody a chance, what I want to do is kind of go around. Let me ask you, do you have a report this morning that you wanted to give on what's going on south of the border? Because all this stuff kind of ties in together, the whole idea of Brandon's lack of a southern border. Go ahead, and then we'll go around the panel.
I just wanted to give quickly. Israel, the government is claiming that over 500,000 people have received 4 vaccines already, but most of the population in Israel have 3 shots so far. And to me, it breaks my heart because they're trying to kill the Jews again, and the own enemy is their own Jewish people, because a lot of Jewish people in America are Democrats, and they're the ones to blame for. And they did exactly the same thing in Israel to the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, to what they did here in America to Trump. But the good news is Trump is coming very soon. They have tried to kill him 5 times within the last 2 weeks, we heard. So we really, really need to pray for our president. A real president, Donald Trump.
Yeah, just as a lot of social information, sometimes I question it. You know, I've always questioned the idea that these people are trying to kill everybody in the world. I don't think so, because I think they lose their market and they lose their money. You know, people to them are money. We're cattle. We're you know, to be fed, watered, kept in a pen, and it's like the Matrix. You know, we're the battery. You know, for their battery cables, that's what keeps them going. But what I talked about yesterday on the show, and I'm going to go around and ask you about this too. And you're free to comment on anything. You don't have to stick with my topic that I'm bringing up at this particular time. But the idea that the snake oil jab, as I'm calling it, that it systematically destroys your immune system. So the first shot, takes out half your white blood cells, and the second shot introduces more HIV, which is what Dr. Judy Mikovits talked about, this HIV, in the snake oil jabs. And then as you go, your immune system gradually reduces with each successive shot to the point where you're completely dependent on the next shot to have any immune system at all. This is how the flu vaccine works. It's got that chemical adjuvant squalene, which is connected to Gulf War syndrome. Okay, so what these quote vaccines do, what they really do, is they lower your immunity so that you need even more vaccine next time. That's why they have 4 times the amount of squalene and other stuff in the new flu shot. Because the people that have taken it, their immune systems are so low that they need more of it. And this is a vaccine dependency thing to destroy your natural immunity. That's what I think is going on. RC, you're next. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have never, ever taken a flu shot. Mm-hmm. I refuse. And we had that choice with the flu shot. Well, why don't we have the shot with the same choice with the COVID shot, which I refuse to take that also. Mm-hmm. I have been to hundreds of rallies that the government, I forget now exactly how they termed it, but if all these people get together, it's going to be a hot spot. It's going to be I've been to those rallies, and I do not wear a mask. I've never worn a mask. I have not ever been tested. I figured, why do I need to be tested for something to even know if I've got it? And here again, we go to the fear of the unknown. I refuse to live my life fearing the unknown of what is about to happen or what might happen. If I live my life in the fear of the unknown, I have no life. I refuse.
I agree. I refuse to live in fear.
Hey, too.
Yeah, Pianchi, go ahead. Then we'll get to Bernadette and Kip. Pianchi?
Well, see, here's the thing. What happened to that gentleman there when they asked him what he's going to use the money for? That's racism. And whites got to start calling things racism also. That's what, exactly what it is. It's racism.
Okay.
If blacks can claim that to be racism, like the woman that went to try to deposit a check she just got from an employer and they wouldn't allow it, she's black, she called that racism. What he just done happened to him is racism. And if it had been me, he asked me what I was going to use the purchase for. I'm saying I'm buying ammunition. Because you had another case. You had another case where Bank of America refused to give a gentleman a loan because he wanted to open up what? A gun dealership. So we got to start attacking them back just the way they attack you.
Yeah, that is such a great point. R.C., did you ever think of that? They say, hey, look, you're not giving me the money because I'm white. You know, you're a bunch of racists. You know, that would be a great claim to make.
Well, it's true. Look at the incidents with the shots. They say whites can't go first. You got to let another ethnic group go first before them. Wasn't that up in New York?
Whites go last in line.
White people have got to start calling racism when it's acted out against them.
Yep, absolutely.
Racism is not about skin color. It's about the act. And as he described that, I would say it was racism and get you a lawyer and sue the hell out of
him. There you go. R.C., what do you
think? Yeah, and we go right back to the old thing of accountability. Our federal government does not have any accountability. There's nobody up there with enough sense. It's amazing. But now the money that let's get back to our convoy. Kip,
okay.
If you would, I'll let you take this because you understand it a little bit better than I do about the funds that that have been started for our convoy and the positions that have been taken to ensure that money will be available.
Then I get to Bernadette, who hasn't talked for a little bit. I want to make sure we go around and get everybody a chance. Go ahead, Kip. Why don't you go ahead and give us the details, then we'll keep going here. Kip?
Well, AmericaTruckersFreedomFund.com, the website was launched yesterday. It's a political action committee, which gives it a different layer of protection than a GoFundMe or something. And, you know, GoFundMe, they just reached over with the Canadian deal and basically decided, hey, well, here's a written letter. Here we go, GoFundMe. We're going to cherry pick this. And they could. The way this thing's set up, it's a lot different. Now, for those that wish to donate, certainly they can go to AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com, hit the donate button, give their money. One thing to be said there, it's extremely transparent. It's very secure. It's better than anything I've seen, and not because we're endorsing it or anything like that. It's just the parameters that have been set with safety in mind, patriotism in mind, the protections to keep from the GoFundMe thing happening. You know, it's pretty cool the way that thing's set up. And, you know, as far as everything else with the convoy, the people involved, the way we're trying to set this thing up, the route they've chosen and all that, every bit of it has been chosen, fashioned, and set in place in the mindset of something wholesome for our country to push back against these vax mandates as well as many other things.
No, this is good. In fact, I want to go over that website with you. I was reading it over yesterday, and so I got to take a look at it. Another one I want to go over with you is Trump's new website on his – it's not just his social media platform. It's an entire, you know, media technology company. It's really quite fascinating. I want to go to Bernadette, and I want to get Josie back in the conversation. Then we're going to take a break for a few minutes as I play my Santa Rosa Volunteers piece, and so you all can grab some coffee and then listen in an hour in the podcast or whatever. But a couple of things I have to do here as well. So let's get Bernadette back in, and then Josie, and then probably maybe go once through a couple more comments. Bernadette, you want to get back
in
here?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was playing catch up. I was not actually on the call. So.
Oh, that's okay, fine.
Just
right,
now.
Yeah, 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 well, so welcome back. And Josie, do you have a follow-up at all?
I wanted to also say freedom is taken away in America. I've been saying that for a couple years. People thought I was crazy. I lived through it, so I seen the signs coming from about 4 years ago, and I started buying food, actually, since Obama got in office, a lot of that emergency food, weapons, and ammunition, and a lot of people said, why are you doing that? You're a Christian. I said, I don't care. I'm a Christian, but I have to be ready, too, you know, so people kind of like were giving me different things about it, but what I noticed now, a lot of people waking up in America, thank God. Former CIA Brian Dean has been a Democrat for years and years, and he says it's time for me to leave this party, and he's encouraging a lot of people to leave this party. A little bit at a time, I'm seeing more and more Democrats walking away. And since I was mentioning walking away, Brandon he created a walk away movement. I didn't follow too much up, but he was showing how bad his ankle brace is really cutting his leg because they put it very tight on purpose to hurt him. So I didn't know he was arrested and all that, but we're treating U.S. citizens as criminals, and the illegals are walking away. And right here in Pensacola, one of my customers was telling me that she witnessed last week right here by Burlington, by JCPenney and Academy Sport here on Davis Highway, that a big bus pull up and drop off about, I don't know, about 40, 50 illegals and let them loose. And they started running to each direction.
Yeah. So what I want to talk about,
one of the areas.
Yeah, but here, this is what's so fascinating about this. Now, I put out a press release. Kip, if you want to be on the list, you know, either R.C. Bernadette, you can share it with him, but you can share that with anybody. What I want to bring into the convoy are three bills, because, again, that's what we do here, citizen legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And the three bills, you know, I don't know the exact order. I've forgotten the press release. But the first one, I believe, is the Illegal Alien Free Zone Act, which uses civil asset forfeiture at the state and local level to seize the property of illegal aliens, making it impossible to live in your city, county, state, whichever you want to do. That's the first one. And that's not going to, you know, these laws are, given Congress the way it is now, the Geldings refuse and the Marxists, they don't want to hear it. You know, so this is going to be a state and local thing. This is something you can take all the way across the country. The second one is full product liability for vaccine manufacturers, okay? And that's something that could be done at the state or the federal level. I don't think you can do that at the local level, all right? And the third one is Section 230. It fixes the problems with Section 230, so big tech can't censor you. And if they do, if they touch, you know, what you do on with search, if they touch search engines, you know, and restrict them, or if they do anything, censorship, shadow banning, whatever, on social media, then their liability comes back. They are fully liable for everything they do. So as long as they don't touch what you do, they're okay. They have their immunity protection. But the minute they touch anything you do, then their immunity is gone. So these three bills make such a fundamental change at the local, state, and federal level. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about both websites, the trucker's website, the Trump's website. I want to hear the whole story of what's going on in the convoy. But I promise everybody we do that after a little bit of a break now. And so let me play a couple things I have to play. Then we'll have the whole third hour clear that we can discuss all these things. And, of course, everybody hope listens to my Santa Rosa Volunteers piece. I'm going to meet you guys. So if you want to make a little noise, get coffee, things like that, and catch the Santa Rosa Volunteers presentation a little bit later in the podcast, you can do that too. So let me get this going here, and we'll come back. Then I have a commercial from Strikeforce I'm going to play also. So let me get to this right now, back in about 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Federalist Papers No. 9 was written by our now familiar friend, Alexander Hamilton, November 21st, 1787. And again, he starts in on how the Constitution is required to keep a firm union, which he defines right in the beginning. A firm union will be of the utmost moment to the peace and liberty of the states, as a barrier against domestic faction and insurrection. It is impossible to read the history of the petty republics of Greece and Italy without feeling sensations of horror and disgust at the distractions with which they were continually agitated and at the rapid succession of revolutions by which they were kept in a state of perpetual vibration between the extremes of tyranny and anarchy. Why he compares us to ancient Greece and Italy, which had completely separate city-states like Sparta and Athens, who went to war with each other, as a justification for a strong central government under the new Constitution as a barrier against domestic faction and insurrection, where some 73 years later the U.S. had become completely factioned and was in fact in a civil war, is a complete mystery. But he does love that recurring theme. Leaving behind the ancients who screwed up their republics with despots who created tyrannies over the people, Hamilton makes a huge leap to our modern republic, and after saying the science of politics has received great improvement, then perfectly describes the way a republic is supposed to be characterized, saying this: the regular distribution of power into distinct departments, the introduction of legislative balances and checks, the institution of courts composed of judges holding their offices during good behavior, the representation of the people in the legislature by deputies of their own election. These are wholly new discoveries, or have made their principal progress towards perfection in modern times. They are means, and powerful means, by which the excellences of a republican government may be retained and its imperfections lessened or avoided. One imperfection that needs immediate addressing is that judges need to be held to good behavior and not the mythical lifetime appointment. The biggest problem with Hamilton is that he likes the adulation he obviously received for bringing into his Federalist Papers so many irrelevant examples of failed governments, and from those false comparisons projected what would happen should the new Constitution not be ratified. This is disingenuous. However, if you look carefully through the long paragraphs of fluff, he has his moments of brilliance. So let me set aside all the philosophers he quotes and the foreign failures that don't apply and end with a moment of clarity for Hamilton. He says, "The proposed Constitution, so far from implying an abolition of the state governments, makes them constituent parts of the national sovereignty by allowing them a direct representation in the Senate, and leaves in their possession certain exclusive and very important portions of sovereign power. This fully corresponds in every rational import of the terms with the idea of a federal government." Oh, if only the states had retained their direct representation in the Senate, that the income tax were still apportioned by population and paid by the states and not by individuals, and if only our money came from the U.S. Treasury and not the Federal Reserve, maybe we wouldn't be where we are. So maybe the problems with the Constitution are not so much as it was ratified, but much more how it was amended. I'll be considering that prospect a lot more in future Founding Moments. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half liter water bottle or 16 ounce glass to create a full power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strike Force energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code WYL to the discount code window at checkout. That's W-Y-L. W-Y-L comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio. See all the fun we have now? It's been a while since RC and Bernadette Pittman have been on the show, so I'm going to make everybody's line live here. And this is the hour that we started actually an hour ago, so if you're just joining us live now, waiting to hear about the D.C. Freedom Convoy, we're going to cover it all, not again
you know what?
The same way, but start, you know, it's just like I say, go back and if you're listening to us on podcast or if you want to listen after the show, if you're just joining us now, then get the previous hour, of course, all the hours of the show, because we've had an incredible time. Was that Bianca? You just wanted to make a comment here, and then we're going to get into
you know what's missing on that action drink commercial?
What's missing?
You should have said not bad.
Okay, I'm gonna run my commercials by you now before I actually I can make a new one, but no, I think I kind of like it the way it is. I had my Oma cold, so my voice was pretty much shot. You know, I thought I got a really bad voice right now. Let's use it. How can I use it? And that's when I made the Strike Force commercial. But they're going to be, I think, invaluable as the show gets larger and more people contribute. We're also on Give, Send, Go. So we've abandoned PayPal and GoFundMe. We're at givesendgo.com/actionradio if anybody wants to contribute to us. All right, let's go back to RC and Bernadette, my special guests. And then we'll get to Kip and then Pianchi and Josie and anybody else who wants to join us. You know, welcome to the party. But Bernadette, RC, let's talk about Bikers for Trump, Northwest Florida. To Bikers for Trump, boots on the ground. Let's talk a little bit about that and then how you got involved with the truck convoy and the whole story. And we'll get Kip's story and then we'll just kind of, go from there and we'll figure out the rest later. So you two, you heroes, you Bikers for Trump.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, as you know, we have been fighting the fight for all of our civil liberties, all of our rights. We've been doing this now publicly since 2015. This whole thing with the convoy, me as a truck owner, I was in the trucking business over here in Northwest Florida, R.C. Pittman Trucking. We experienced all of the atrocities. I actually was a part of it. A lot of people don't remember it. There was a truck shutdown back around 1976 that we went in. We blocked all of the truck stops, fuel, pull up on the fuel island, shut the truck off. Well, it won't crank back up. We did this all across the, we call it Produce Alley, mm-hmm. From Miami all the way out to California, this was done. Mm-hmm. And the produce was left in the field. It didn't do no good to harvest it because there wasn't no trucks to haul it.
Why did you do this? Why was the purpose? Yeah, this is interesting. I was in high school at the time, so yeah, I'm curious.
Well, back then the fuel prices were shooting up. Everything that was being placed on the trucks, such as hours of service, different things. You could drive through an inspection station, or drive through a weigh station, and if they see a little trace of rust coming off of from around or even close to a lug nut, you got pulled in. That was a fine of $52.50. You had to call somebody out to tighten up all of the lug nuts on your trucks. One taillight being out, $52.50 fine. This was all DOT stuff. But what we done as far as Bikers for Trump, of course, you know that we've made many trips to Washington, D.C. We're real familiar with that town. When I found out about this convoy, I'd been watching the convoys there in Canada, and they were making a very strong impact on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
They were shutting down the economy. Well, the economy is basically where the governments get their funding from. Without the economy, they have no funds. There's no taxes collected. The stores run out of things to sell. The stores closed down. So the idea that they're trying to take away the stores and things from the owners, they're trying to regulate what the owners do with their own personal businesses. No, what it is the government wants control of what you do with your business. Now, this trucker's convoy, when I noticed it, and I made numerous inquiries into who, what, when, and where, and I came across this gentleman, Kip Colton, and he responded very quickly. He was very knowledgeable. He is a trucker. He runs a trucking operation right now, and through talking with him, sometimes you actually have to talk to somebody in order to get a feel. We have depended so much on the social media outlets, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams, even text messaging. It is mind-boggling that you can actually hold a conversation, but you never get the inflection out of somebody's voice, their tone of their voice. These kind of things mean a bunch. When I spoke with Kip, he was setting up a corridor. He wasn't concerned with the trucks on I-20, 40, 60, 80, all the way up to the Northeast. He wasn't concerned with that. His concern was the East-West corridor, which is I-10. And because I live here on I-10, as a matter of fact, I can hear the trucks from my house late at night. we decided, Bikers for Trump, I talked with some of our leadership, and we know that sometimes there's going to be, you got to have somebody that can get around. If the trucks are all on the interstate and there's an emergency and somebody needs to go get something, go get a part, go get whatever to fix the truck, the bikes are more accessible and can get around a lot easier than a truck. So I said to our organization, I said, let's offer our assistance to this convoy. And our organization agreed to do it. And as you know, Greg, we are self-funded. You can't go to a Bikers for Trump organizational chapter anywhere and see where that we have asked, begged, now we are very grateful when somebody's, and I've had a gentleman here in our business district walk up to me and say, Casper, hey, and shake my hand, and they'd be a $100 bill in their hand. You know, things like that. That's nice. Are so grateful to people that do that. But we don't beg for money. So we decided on our own dime that we're going to go out and help these truckers. We're going to do anything within our power to help them get to Washington, D.C. That was my mission statement to Kip and to the convoy from Los Angeles. As you know, I did the ride to the inauguration brought all the bikes in for Trump's inauguration. Well, basically what I offered is I'll set up logistics. And we have got logistics set up there on that website. When the people from American Priority and the different organizations that we have dealt with, when they heard what we were doing, they said, this, we can get behind this cause. We can get the way that you guys are trying to do this. Kip is very, 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 he's a stickler. He says, we're not going to break any laws. We're going to stay in one lane. We're going to keep one lane open. We have a code of conduct. We have every facet of a legal protest that can be used. Kip has put it into this convoy. And I agree with him. You know, bikers, sometimes they get a little bit off to the left-hand side of the road, you know, and Kip's kind of kept me in the right-hand lane, which is sometimes Bernie has a real hard time doing it. But what we're trying to do is...
She's next. I want to hear her story next.
We're trying to assist with the convoy. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a convoy of trucks, but, you know, like running down the interstate late at night, you get 8, 10, or 12 guys running along there, you know, nose to tail. That's a beautiful sight late at night. When you see a convoy on the CB radio, the first thing you do is, how about that convoy over there on the west side?
Well, I wish I could play CW McCall's, you know, convoy song. I can't because I don't have the license to broadcast that. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's your theme song right there, convoy.
Well,
breaker, there's a rubber duck.
We have this website.
Mm-hmm.
Website at freedomfund.com. Go on there and check that out.
Yeah.
There is a place for the everyday average American to go on that site, put a testimony on there. There's places to interact with the truckers on there. The code of conduct that we are going to adhere to is on there. All of these things are on that website. Now, it's called a fund, Freedom Fund. Yes, it's a fund. Yes, you can donate. Yes, this money's going to the truckers. This is an absolute we can't get any more transparent than what this site is. It's going to make it easier, but we still are going to be on the interstate coming this way. We're still going to be doing it. Whether they steal our money, which I don't think they can the way it's set up, whether they freeze my bank account, well, I got smart here a couple of years ago. I keep just enough in there to cover my contract.
Don't give away all your secrets.
My materials.
I'm sure the FBI KGB listens to our show, so don't tell them everything.
The rich people. Everybody's talking about, well, the poor, this and that and the other.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but man, them whole things about these commercials on TV. Buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, buy silver, your portfolio. You know, you can take them gold coins or gold bricks or whatever. You can dig a hole and hide them in the ground. You still got money.
I want to sum up a little bit. I want to get to some of our other folks here and talk about this website because it's pretty cool stuff. But, yeah, this is a great story.
Well, the main thing is the government, they do have somebody that can enforce all of their mandates and all of their regulations and all of their amendments, and it's called the IRS. The powers that the IRS have right now are so far out of line with what the American public is about. And this is what we're doing. We're just the convoy. Go in there, make a statement, let the American people's voice be heard.
I want to do more than
talk
that.
About
Look, yeah. I'll tell you what I want to do in a second. I want to get Bernadette in here and see if you want to. Bernadette, do you want to add anything to this? And then I'll tell you what I'd like to add to this whole convoy. Bernadette?
Okay. We joined this convoy, and I apologize, my voice is a little screwed up this morning, but we joined this convoy to stand in the gap for the people, to be the people's voice. We're all one unity going for the same cause. We're going for our freedom of religion, our freedom of medical freedom, our education, our freedom from for political freedom. There's many different factors here. One thing I do want to touch up on the website, so that everybody is aware, there are also petitions on the website along with the testimonial avenue that we ask people to sign. And then we do have a volunteer support area, or if you're a trucker, all these options are on there. We ask that everybody just check the website out, and that website is America's Truckers Freedom Fund. As far as our mission, when we get there, we are in the process of reaching out to each and every congressman across the United States and asking our governors to put pressure upon our congressional and senators to have our voices heard.
Yeah. I mean, let me just the website here. I'm going to put it on the Action Radio group, which is public. My page is only for friends because too many trolls, you know, got in the way. But it's American Truckers. There we go. AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. And so AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. And so that's going to be it's a marvelous website. And that's why I wanted you to explain it, because there's so many things on there that people can contribute to. Kip, I want to bring you on a second here. But what I want to contribute to this, if you're interested and amenable to it, is to post our three bills, to have a section for citizen legislation. See, what we're doing here has never been done. What we do here, and I want to thank again.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bernadette. Yeah, and you got a little echo on your line too, so I want to see if we can clear that up. Bernadette,
I'm sorry. Let me move.
It's okay. No problem.
I was going to tell you, if you go ahead and get those bills over to me, we'll go ahead and get them uploaded or link uploaded onto the website for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I sent you the press release. I don't know if you've checked your email, but it's there. Let me give where's my round of applause here real quick? I got to scroll faster. Here we go. This is for you guys. I got buttons. I can have fun here. So I want to thank Bernadette and R.C. Pittman again for what they did. I think it's about almost 2 years ago now, or maybe a year and a half. These two, and I'm not sure how many other folks went, but they took 25 of our bills. And I had a package of 25 bills to rock 2022. Actually, well, I think it was 2018, the midterms. These guys go to Washington from Florida. I think it was Pensacola left from. Drove, hand-carried our bills on motorcycles halfway across the country up to D.C., presented them personally to the White House. And I think the only reason they didn't have more impact was because Trump was in his, like, either his second or his third impeachment at that point. But you guys did an incredible thing. That's what needs to happen, because I want to get people used to the idea that we, the people, us regular folks, can write legislation. And the fact that you want to include our legislation in your website, you can do what's never been done before at a rally. Yes, your voices can be heard. Yes, you're going to have an impact. Yes, you're going to get worldwide coverage. Yes, this is going to be fascinating. And yes, they're going to try and shut you down with martial law. And I've got an idea for you as well there, too. But what no one's ever done, no one's ever showed up in their hands in a rally with laws that can be put directly into committee for hearing. These bills are ready to go. In fact, if you take a look at them, they have the bill, the laws are cited in the U.S. code where they can be changed. The state legislatures, well, they got staff. They can figure where to change in their code. Three things. Section 230, stop the ability of big tech to censor. Full product liability on vaccine manufacturers and creating illegal alien-free zones. So it doesn't matter how many people Brandon brings in, they won't be able to go to certain places because their assets are going to get seized. If you make a public statement, you present those bills to Congress, and you have an ally too, I forgot to tell you about, Jerome Bell, Navy chief, 27 years, veteran, running for Congress in Virginia. He was on earlier this week. I think it was early, or maybe it was last week. Anyway, I lose track of time. He was on recently. So Jerome Bell loves our citizen legislation. He's got the press release. He may be running on those bills. Okay. So this is serious stuff. We're not just talking about a dream here. This is a reality. And if you can present these in a press conference, or you can and you put them on the website, first of all, bless you. Thank you. I appreciate that. The ability of people to just, and this is an education process where people can see that we, the people, are actually writing the bills, and we're giving them to Congress. So here, this is what we want. This is what we consent to. You want to know about our consent? This is what we consent to. And if you don't at least consider these bills or do something with them or put them in committee or, you know, better still, vote for them and pass them, you know, with whatever amendments they throw in, and we'll decide that later. We still have the elections coming up after that. So you put the bills in now and they say, look, this is you want to vote in the midterms? You better take a look at these things, because this is stuff that Congress could never write. They're not going to write a bill to put liability on the vaccine manufacturers. They lose all their donations. They're not going to put a bill to create illegal alien-free zones, even though that's a direct counter to the sanctuary cities and states. They can't do that because the left will go crazy and make them look like racists. Bianchi, I mean, is going to comment on that. You know, and then the third one is product liability section 230. You know, I basically redid two sentences in the law. It's so simple to understand. You change two sentences, and it turns, you know, the Good Samaritan, good faith exemption where they can regulate where big tech can regulate what goes on there, and you take that away and you say, look, okay, you'll be immune from what people post, but if you touch what people post, you lose that immunity. It's that simple. Anyway, I'm going to roll today. Bianchi. Oh, no, Kip. I'm sorry. Let's get Kip's. Kip, why don't you get your story in here? Let's get your last name. I think I haven't written that down. How'd you get involved? What do you want to do? What do you think of the legislation? Just I'll turn it over to you for a little bit here. Kip, welcome back to the show.
You know, there's so many things that you could say. I think as far as involvement in the convoy, saw some things going on. Try to get involved with some people and help them, and it was kind of like, no, I don't believe this is a good fit. Mm-hmm. Have always kind of taken the lead on some things, and in no way am I in the lead here. It's all of us working together, but it takes someone to lead in action to get people together to move in a direction. I think that's a good way to explain it. After having seen, you know, because for me, everybody's talking about these last two years. And I can't sit here and say that I just got involved these last 2 years, because I remember 2008 when that happened, and then all of a sudden there was an ammo shortage, and there was a whole bunch of draconian things that were happening then that everybody's acting like now do because of COVID, that those things never happened. So for me, I was a little more on point. And I think in those 14 years with everything that's happened, and I've questioned myself endlessly, how do we stop this? How do we fix this? How do we do something about this? And, you know, so for me, for roughly 14 years, I've been involved in the local political process and the state process. But this thing here, with everything that came up after the Ottawa protest, I'm just sitting here looking at it saying, man, we got to do something. And so now we're here. Been quite a journey.
Oh, yeah, it's an evolution for all of us. Listen, I'm still evolving the whole idea of Action Radio, the whole idea of a citizen legislature. We're pioneering every day. We break new ground every day. You know, we do things, again, the idea of combining a radio show with a citizen legislature has never been done. So you're among good company. In fact, if you ever want to schedule some time, talk about, you know, things that you want, issues, work on bills with us, just let me know. I'm glad, you know, perfectly happy to give you an hour, you know, and of course that goes for Archie Bernadette too. If you guys ever want to schedule time, just let me know or just call in on your own. You know, I'm hoping you can call in with live updates as you're in the convoy. In fact, Kip, same thing for you too as well. All right, let's go to, we're going to go Josie Pianchi, and then we're going to kind of go around the panel. Of course, if someone has something they really want to talk about, just, you know, yell and scream and jump right in. But so I've got a few issues here, but I wanted to make sure that I cover everybody. So Josie, you've been patiently listening to all this, and we'll get to Pianchi.
I've been patiently putting my makeup on and just listening.
Okay.
What I wanted to say is all these people stepping down in our country, senators, they think, and also from other big corporates, they're stepping down thinking that they're going to get away with their crimes, but they're not going to have a place in the earth to hide once this whole truth gets released. And I truly believe that the children is the only thing that's going to unite the United States and the world, because anytime they start going after our kids, if you notice, the Democrats and the Republicans got together, I believe it was in California, when mm-hmm. they came up that they were going to start vaccinating all the kids. So people were, like, talking to each other like never before. And this is what's going to happen when everything gets released by Len Wood. He has in five different locations all the evidence about child trafficking and the torture and abuse. The John Roberts from the Supreme Court is very involved. The Obamas, the Bidens, especially the Biden son, all these people, it's worldwide. And they're not going to have a place to hide in the earth because people are going to come after them. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I have seen some of the videos. And let me tell you, when I was with Len Wood, we were having dinner. I felt a little scared being in the same room with him and a lot of the patriots because I know they're after him too. And we were also with Mike Flynn and Cindy Powell eating dinner in the same room. These people are real patriots, let me tell you. They're super, super sharp, knowledgeable. These people really love America. I wasn't even born in this country, and I really love this country. And I tell people I'm willing to give my right arm for this country because I really love freedom, and I'm not willing to give up my freedom in this country. So what I can say to the convoy truckers, I'm proud of them, and they need to stand all the way to the end. Don't be afraid, because God is going to have his hand to protect you. And I'll be praying for them for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any work with, that's a great statement. I wonder if there's any, like Lynn Wood and some of the other attorneys and some of the patriots are involved with the convoy. I think personally it might be too much of an issue. You know, for things like this, a big mass thing like this, the simpler you make it, the better. That's why I put three bills, only three bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though, I mean, of course you can consider more, but just to get things going. But let me ask RC and Bernadette, are you guys working with any of the big attorney groups? Are you doing any election correction stuff? Are there any other issues involved, or is this really strictly COVID, mandates, masks, lockdowns, get rid of all that crap? RC, Bernadette, who wants to take that one?
Yeah, we are, this convoy.
My dog's about to have a 5-car alarm.
This convoy is focused.
Now you got the echo. You guys have an echo on your lines. You're either too close together or in your cell phones or something. But
Come on,
you
Teddy.
Might have to just separate yourselves or turn
on hang on just a second.
Okay, no problem.
Okay,
I guess
that,
on live
that
radio.
Should have eliminated that should have eliminated my echo.
Okay,
all right,
go,
look, the convoy.
Mm-hmm.
The focus, the reasoning behind it was because the trucks, look, the trucks go into so many different states. People don't realize what it takes to run a truck from here to California, for example. The regulations and the laws, you just about have to be a lawyer to operate an independent trucking company. We can't save the whole world, but the trucks were having a problem going into Canada, going into Mexico. Hell, we even had you have a problem going into a state that's right next to you. Say in a prime example, Florida, which has been I hate to say this because we've got droves and droves and droves of liberals that are tired of what's going on in their own state and they're moving to Florida. The only thing that we would ask is, leave all your liberalism in the state that you left because you done got tired of it, and then don't bring it here and try to impose it on us.
Agreed.
The whole thing about the mandates.
Yeah.
The truckers, they go in one warehouse, you got to have a mask. You go in the next warehouse, you ain't got to have a mask. It's your choice. Now the government's saying, if you want to cross this border, you got to have a vaccine. This next state that you go to, you can't even go into a restaurant unless you got a vaccine card. Now, the common sense factor of it is we can the analogy hit me when you guys were talking a while ago. Have you ever been going down the road and you see one of these hang on just a minute. Okay, I got you. Have you ever been going down the road and you saw one of these blow-up, it's a mannequin form of a human, and and the air's blowing out the arms, and it's waving its arm and its head and its legs, and it's going back and forth? Okay,
yes.
That got your attention. That caused you to look. Well, you get a convoy going down the interstate, and as they get into it, I'm glad you mentioned the guy's name in Virginia, the guy that's running. He needs to get in touch with us.
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay? We're
going
to try to get in touch with him, but he needs to get in touch with us.
Okay.
These trucks are like that mannequin waving in the air. They have they've already gotten D.C.'s attention. D.C.'s attention was got when they blocked the border crossings there in Detroit. These trucks, when they go in there, we go in there with 100 motorcycles. about 10 semis can take up the road where 100 motorcycles have just ran across, and it don't take but 10 of them. This is going to be so visible. The amount of attention that's already being garnered from just us talking about it in the last week, week. We actually got involved. Friday was a week ago. Okay. And so much is being done. We will get their attention. What we're doing, the convoy and what I'm behind Chip for, is we are going to have so much attention dedicated to this. We're going to change the narrative. We're not going in. They branded us. We got the bikes. We went into D.C. January the 6th. Yeah, I was on the FBI watch list. Put me on another FBI watch list because we're going to do the same thing that we did January the 6th. The true patriots went in there to make a statement and to be heard. Now, the outside influences that was paid, and here we go again, paid to disrupt and to destroy was not part of us. We have people that were actually there as true patriots that are doing time or have done time already. And what we're trying to do with this convoy is we are going to get America's attention. We're going to get Congress's attention, for we the people. And that's 100% why I'm behind it. The mandates and the vaccines have got to be done away with because it's crippling the trucking industry in this country from doing their job and providing us with goods and services. That's why the harbors are backed up. The harbors, they can't unload ships because they ain't got the trucks in there to haul it. Well, the warehouses ain't got the trucks to haul the groceries to the grocery store. You can look on any facet of your life, and you're going to find out if you ate it, drank it, used it, bought it, somewhere along the line, a truck had to haul it.
Yeah.
Can cripple and can shut down the economy of the United States if they choose to do so, but it takes unity. We are unified in this effort.
Yeah, let me just hold it for a second because we've only got 25 minutes left, so I want to get to short responses. I got a couple of things. First of all, Americans love truckers. I find it fascinating that I think truckers are doing this universally around the world. I think truckers are some of the most overregulated and taxed people, especially for being independent truckers, because the government doesn't want independent truckers.
Yeah, we have our own police force.
Well, there you go. See, you know, and
we have our own police force. It's called the DOT.
Exactly. Oh yeah, believe me. Listen, I came under it as a professional tour guide, as a professional driver, as a commercial driver. I had all kinds of regulations and health checks as well. So believe me, I understand. But here's the thing too, that it's fascinating that this is universally being done with truckers. Truckers are universally loved because everybody likes their stuff and everybody likes truckers. It's kind of cool, you know. But the other thing is, being overregulated, it makes sense that truckers would lead this. Now, I know you're bikers for Trump, so I just want to put a plug in here. If you're ever talking to Donald Trump by chance, I'd love to have him on the show. I'm serious about this. I'd love to have him on the show because I think he'd love what we do with citizen legislation. So you don't have to do it now. You got a convoy to do. But sometime, if the opportunity arises, I'd love to get him on the show. That would be fascinating too. The other person I'm going to get you in touch with, besides Jerome Bell, who's running for Congress, is Jonathan Mosley. Jonathan Mosley is a criminal defense attorney. He does a legal report Thursdays. He's defending, I think, either two or three of the people in the D.C. gulag right now. Okay, so we got good people. I want to introduce him to Kip and to RC and Bernadette. Get you guys connected as well. So I'm going to get everybody connected. This is going to be fascinating.
I agree.
But the one, Kip, was that you? And then go ahead.
I was going to wait till you get done. I just want to make
Okay. All right. Let me make one more point here just to make sure I get it in. I think the person that you really want to get in touch with, Kip, Bernadette, and RC, your greatest ally is going to be Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. And here's what I was thinking this morning. D.C. is going to be locked down. Okay, they're going to bring in the military. They're going to bring in whatever they want to try and shut you guys down. Virginia has a National Guard. If you can make friends right now with Glenn Youngkin, if you can work with him and say, look, we're going to need your National Guard possibly to supply the convoy in D.C. with fuel, food, money, you know, whatever else they're going to try and cut down. You know, maybe you can have a Virginia branch of the, let me get this website again so everybody hears, AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. I would make friends with Glenn Youngkin. I would contact his office now and see if he can work out something with the Virginia Guard.
We're already doing that, Greg. We are contacting the governors up in that area.
Okay.
The ones that are sympathetic to the American people.
Oh yeah, the real governors, not the Marxists. Yeah, okay, good. If you're already doing that, then that's okay. So I'm glad, you know, for this one lesson that I have to worry about. That's great. All right, let's get to Pianchi and let's go around again. Short. I'll try and make my comment. I'll try and stay out of it. Pianchi, go ahead.
No, I went to this website with this beautiful Peterbilt, red in color, my favorite, and I made a donation. I hope it can make a difference.
See, you started already.
But I'll just say this. Uh-huh. A couple of things that need to be done too, RC. You need to get your kids knowledgeable of what's going on, your grandchildren, your daughters, your sons, because that's where I think we lose out, because you are not going to be here forever. It doesn't make sense for them to start all over. So they need to just pick up from where you leave off. And the only way that can happen is through education and the instillment into your child. And one other quick thing. Mm-hmm. The Constitution protects your rights of privacy. Your civil rights protect you from undue things like what you may mention with that credit card transaction. And I'm telling you, from what I see, that was racism, RC, You got to call it for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah. So the time remaining, I'm just going to let you guys talk. So we've got Pianchi, we've got Bernadette, we've got Kip, we've got RC, and we've got Josie. So if anybody has ideas, you know, you want to share or things you want to talk about, I pretty much covered everything I wanted to. So other than getting Trump on the show, I want his endorsement. I think we can get it too. But it'd be nice if Trump was actually at the I'm serious about that. Don't you know? Listen, send some legislation as the future. You guys can make history, not only in the convoy, but as the first protest in the world that actually has the legislation in your hands that you consent to be governed by that you're bringing to Congress. This is a revolution, folks, and it's a peaceful revolution. And you got the power to do it. You've got the bills. If you don't, I'll make sure I get them to you. But this is something that's Let me ask. Let me go around the panel here. Kip, Bernadette, and RC. Bernadette and RC, you already been involved with this, but Kip, let me start with you. What do you think of the idea of showing up in Washington with bills that you present to Congress and say, "This is how we consent to be governed"? How's that strike you?
Preparation is key. We've said it all along, and our focus has been with this movement. If we go there without a plan, we're not going to affect change. We're going to gripe and whine, and we're not doing that.
Okay.
I'm
impressed.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about every detail, everything possible that could go wrong. You better have a contingency plan or a plan to prevent it from happening in the first place. That's getting there. That's hanging out, whatever you want to call it. But when you look at actually going to the nation's capital to go affect change, what are your goals? And it's always what, when, where, why, and how. And so we've been setting up meetings on the front side. That way when we get there, they want to talk. Let's talk. You know, why are y'all here? What's your grievance? Because that's what it is. It's a grievance. And certainly to a grievance that's proposed, there must be an answer given. Two sides of the line there. And the hope would be we go in and sit down and talk with them. And I'll be very candid in my own feelings. If we go and we fix this, quote unquote, man, great. But if not, we got one hell of a start on the conversation that will then take place.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I think you're extremely organized. You're articulate. You're going to be a good spokesperson for this. And it looks like you got your ducks in a row here, so I'm really impressed. Anyway, let me just go around the panel. Whoever wants to jump in and give your thoughts, and let's get a little exchange going here and see what happens. Who wants to take up the next comment? Bernadette? Oh, I get a real echo on your line.
I'm trying to get the feedback out off of my phone. I have a horrible feedback.
Yeah, that's distracting, and then as far as your message gets lost.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Better sound is better. Yeah. Okay.
The way I fixed mine was to take it off of mute and speak directly into the phone. Or take it off of voice.
Okay, is that better?
That's much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
There you go. We've cured our technical difficulties. You're back. This is so cool. All right. Anyway, yeah. So, any other message you want to get to people, or anything you want to cover here in the last 17 minutes?
Yes, I want Ron DeSantis, our governor of Florida, to give his blessing to this convoy.
Well, he's almost got our press release.
I want our congressman in District 1. Matt Gaetz to stand behind this convoy and help we the people. We already got Marjorie Greene on board that will be with us in this convoy.
Okay.
So we've already got congressmen involved and women, excuse me.
Matt Gaetz? Let's talk about Matt Gaetz for a minute, because here's a guy, you know, when I was on WBY, he called me every week. You know, and haven't heard from him since that transition over to a sports station. But, you know, he started wearing hair gel. You know, he did the media circuit thing. He got seduced by the dark side, and we don't hear from him anymore. And he's our representative for both. So RC, Bernadette, and me, and Josie, we're all in Matt Gaetz district. What the hell is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
Did he get seduced by the dark side?
Or
not? Go ahead, Bernadette,
well,
first.
Great.
Bernadette.
I might be seeing Ron DeSantis. I don't. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Josie, you go then.
I might be seeing Ron DeSantis. I don't know if it's this week or next week. He's coming to Pensacola, and they're not telling us yet, but he's going to be at a friend's house.
at a friend's business, excuse me. So I will personally tell him if I see him to bless the convoy truckers for sure.
Yeah, I'll get you guys all in touch.
Absolutely.
Too,
and
so,
if we can get some information on that business, or I can call his schedule and find out when he's going to be here and go speak with him directly and put him on the spot.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as far as Matt goes, and this is my personal opinions on Matt. I think that Matt is more on a federal fight than a state, if that makes sense. And the reason I say that, I wish he would have took Ruby. I wish he would have run against Rubio. I wish he would have moved into Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been fine with me.
But,
yeah.
Because we would have had a stronger ally at that point, and we would have had somebody true. Now, granted, I don't agree on some of the things he's done. I don't agree with the red flag bill that he signed.
Which bill?
You know, there's some things that I'm not happy with. There's some things that I'm not happy with him.
Right.
There's more good than there is bad.
Well, nobody's perfect. I agree with you.
So
what about the fact
I would stand behind him 100%, but that's my personal
Let
me make a comment here on Matt Gaetz.
Go ahead, RC. Yeah, RC, go ahead.
I'm just going to throw that out there. This is a Lanny app. And if you live in Louisiana, you know what a Lanny app is. That's something for nothing. Okay, Matt Gaetz, you made a promise. You made this promise numerous times because we escorted you to every one of your rallies. Every one of your town halls, you had a contingent that was behind you, that was protecting you, that was leading you. And this promise that you made to we the people here in District 1, you went back on it. You promised that you would not, that you were for term limits. You promised that you were only going to do I think it was two or three terms. I believe it was two terms as a congressman, and you were going to bow out. Well, you haven't done that. You're running again. Now, I can understand you have gained some prominence. You've gained some statue. But it seems to, just like Bernie just said, it seems to me like you're more concerned with the federal end of it than you are with the District 1 or the Florida end of it. And we're not happy. If you want to stay in government, how about move to another position? You've done your terms in Congress. Move on to a different position if you want to stay in the fight. But live up to your promise to all the people that you made that you weren't going to be a lifetime congressman. You wasn't in there for the lifetime. You was in there to do your two terms and to get out. Well, it's time for you to go somewhere else. And this is my own personal opinion, but the man made promises to do that, and he has not kept them. That's the only thing that, other than the red flag law, and I'm up in arms about that one because I do own arms, and I do plan on keeping my arms. I got rocks and sticks and baseball bats. I got all kind of arms around my property. This red flag law, I want to see that taken out of the state of Florida. Ron DeSantis, I want to see this taken out of the state of Florida. I am going to make these demands. This is something that these people that get into a position in government and feel like it's their due and they're going to sit there on their, I'm against it. We got to have term limits. Maybe somebody can write a law that we can get term limits put in the hands, but it has to be put in the hands of a national election. Let the people determine whether there's term limits or not. That's like letting the fox determine what kind of protections is going to be in the hen house. We're fed up with that. This convoy that we're joined hands with.
You know, that might be the fourth bill that you
present to Congress. The convoy that we have joined hands with is what? Yeah.
this is all about. We're going to make a statement. We're going to gather the attention. Kip's going to be the spokesperson. He is the spokesperson. He is the leader. Kip's a very humble person, but he doesn't like the limelight. To me, this is not about limelight. I have this is the first radio show. This is the first avenue of discussing this that I've even had a chance to be on, that I've even attempted to be on. Kip is the leader of this thing. Okay. And whatever he needs done in any way that I can help him, that's what we will do. Kip, take over right now. Let's get some thoughts on from you on where the convoy is going, where we're stopping, what we're going to be doing while we're stopped, and the ultimate prize is to manage to arrive in D.C.
Well, I wish I could do that. Unfortunately, he had to leave. He's left the conversation. So what we need to do is bring him back on and bring you guys back on. So I hope to have you on regularly, you know, a few times before, maybe a couple times before the convoy leaves, while the convoy's in action when you're in D.C. But you might want to add a term limits bill to this. I wouldn't add too many bills because I want to keep it – I think you should keep it simple. But and I'm not a big fan of term limits for different reasons, but that's you guys. You can do it. But it might be an interesting place just to have a place for citizen ideas for legislation. You know, so we got our three bills that I post that I sent in the press release that are already written. You could say we need a term limits bill and ask for ideas and ask for other ideas from people. This might be a way to get more people involved, because the biggest problem is it's like talk radio versus action radio. In talk radio, you know, you hear about the problems and you hear and they've raised complaining to an art form, you know, but action radio is about doing something. So you could actually turn this into a citizen action thing where you have a section on the website for bills. You know, for people for ideas. I want this. I consent to this law. I think this would be a good idea. You might get a whole bunch of ideas. I might get a whole bunch of ideas, you know, that we can.
Hey, there is a place on the, there's a place on the website for that. There is a place on the website. If you go in there and dig into it, you'll find out. There's a place on the website for anyone.
Yeah, speak up and be
heard.
Can
make a comment, can make a statement. Yeah. We have set this up so it's for we the people.
Okay. Well, I love it. I mean, your website is brilliant. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. And I see it says speak up and be heard. You've got send a testimonial to Congress. You've got an about us section. You've got the Great American Patriot Project. You've got a really great logo. You've got a place to contribute, to join a convoy, apply for assistance. You got a Tucker Carlson, you know, video there. You got that beautiful Peterbilt truck. And it's a great website. So once again, AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. So this is good stuff. All right. About 8 minutes left. Let's go around again. Josie Pianchi, Bernadette RC. Josie?
I think this is a great thing that is happening since the doctors couldn't come forward and the nurses. I feel like they're a bunch of cowards, except for the good doctors telling us the truth. We haven't had a debate between the criminal Fauci and real doctors, you know, to address the people.
That's something to call for,
what
too.
What to do, you know.
Yeah.
So this has all been well organized from the very beginning. And thank God for the truckers that they're standing, because, you know, if a trucker comes from Florida and we don't have to have a vaccine and they go to New York, they have to have a vaccine card, like he was saying. And that's ridiculous, what's happening to our country. Colombia, you cannot go to a restaurant, you cannot go shopping because you have to have a car in order to get in and all these places. The same thing in Peru. It's just all these leaders are behind this whole thing with China. And the American CEOs from hospitals are really helping China to put a muscle on our faces, you know, like an animal. I was in the medical field. We only used the mask when we were doing procedures. So this is an agenda to do what they did to the Jews, put them in fear. And we're sick and tired of being in fear, and we're no longer going to tolerate fear from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Also, Yeah. Also, Bernadette, I can put you in touch with Dr. Deborah Biglioni, who did the medical freedom rallies here. And she knows Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, Judy Mikovits, Peter Bragan, just a bunch of people that are involved in the, you know, an American frontline doctors, you know, Doctors for Freedom. Also in this area, we have Dr. Ben Marble. We have Dr. Jim Thorpe and other people who might, you know, want to be involved in this as well. So I can talk to them and I can get you guys all matched up as well. So there's so many, you know, great things. And if you want to, oh, let me put it this way. When you send this to Matt Gaetz's office, you know, and Ron DeSantis' office, so 15 minutes before the end of the show, so 2 minutes and 45, if you want to mark the time to tell them where to listen to your comments, it was 2 minutes and 45 into the show, the last 50 minutes to go. Let's go, Bernadette, let's get you back on, and then Pianchi, and then probably have about 3 or 4 minutes left after that. Bernadette?
Okay, all I'm going to say, all I have to really say is united we stand. Divided we fall, our children's future is at stake. It's time, our grandchildren's future, or our nieces and nephews, if we don't have any children, it's time for America to stand. And it's time to take back America the way it was written by our forefathers.
Yeah. Let's get your contact information now. We've got the website, and we've got but anything Northwest Florida Bikers for Trump, BOTG, Boots on the Ground, any contact information you guys want to give so people can reach you. Bernadette?
People can reach me directly. I'm an open book. I don't mind sharing my phone number. I work on the backside, all the logistics of it. And you know that I'm not a speaker, so I stick strictly to my work and what I do. And but if anybody has any questions or want to call me on a one-on-one basis, here's my number. It's 850-313-4675. We will be doing live videos on all social media platforms from the time the convoy begins until we have a resolution.
Yeah, I want to post all those. You know, I'm posting videos from all over the world right now, but that's great. Well, you might get calls. And we've been heard in over 70 countries, so you never know who's going to call you now. This is kind of interesting. And we do have Skype if anybody wants to call in by Skype.
I can speak 3 languages.
Oh, good. You might need them. And then we can call some Russia. We have friends that we want to know how to do Russian convoy to Moscow. It'd be a great time. All right. sorry. RC, do you have any – Don't mind me. Anyway,
I can speak Russian to you.
See, there you go. So that's what you do. How far is it?
A little
there
bit.
Yes.
Привет.
RC, have you got any groups that, or anything, that any other contact information you want to give, RC? What? Is he making coffee? He's checked out. He's having a cigar on the back porch. We know. Don't mind me.
Let's
go,
Pianchi.
Unmute yourself.
Hang on.
This is live radio.
All right.
Okay,
I made it. Look, I've got one thing I want to add to all everything we've discussed. Okay. I'm going to ride from here to Tallahassee. Every truck stop along the way. We're going to be putting out handbills for the truckers to carry in their trucks to pass this word along to the other people. I'm going to ride over as far as Slidell, going the other way, doing the same thing. Look, if you can only allow enough time to join this convoy, if you don't do nothing but drive across your state. All right, the state of Alabama, you're only 69 miles wide on I-10. State of Mississippi, you're only 78 miles wide on I-10. If you can do nothing but join this convoy across your state, you will be part of the convoy and you will be making a statement and helping us as we travel along the way. We need the backing. We need the support of the American people to make this convoy a success. And I would plead with you, get involved anywhere you can. We have stops all along the way, different truck stops and places that we're going to be pulling over to fuel, different places we're going to be pulling over to rest. If you've got a group, can go out to a rest area somewhere,
set up a coffee shop where they can come in and grab a cup of coffee or a soda or a sandwich. Mm. These kind of things is what the people on the outside of the convoy can get involved with and help participate and help us along our way.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. We only got a minute left. So I want to make sure that we know the route of the convoy and when is it going to start. So starting point, ending point is D.C., starting in Los Angeles. How are you going to get there and when and what day are you leaving?
Okay, the trucks in the California area are coming down and meeting the main meeting point for the I-10 corridor is Quartzsite, Arizona.
Okay.
We will be traveling from Quartzsite into our next staging area, stopover where we're going to sleep will be Fort Stockton, Texas. We're leaving on March the 3rd, the morning of March the 3rd. We're headed this way. We should be passing through the Pensacola Mobile area on the afternoon of March.
Okay, you got 5 seconds.
I think it's the 5th is when we're coming through here.
Okay, we'll post the route later. We've got to go now. We're actually out of time. You guys have been fabulous. Thank you. You can come back anytime. Come back anytime you want to, and we'll get more information on this. So that's Bernadette and R.C. Pittman. We had Pianchi on the show.
Thank you, Greg.
We had Kip, and thank you, R.C., for doing this. And we'll keep everybody updated. But we have to go now. And so the Citizen Revolution continues, and Now Action Radio, fortunately, because of these folks, Bernadette and R.C., we can help get our bills out there in the general public and to Washington. And let's see what happens when they get presented, you know, bills from regular people in D.C. as well as the rest of the message. I got to go. Greg Penglis for
God
Action
bless
Radio.
You all.
At Blog Talk. God bless you, too, Josie. Thank you.
God bless everybody.
Here we go. I got to leave time for goodbyes. I'll work on that. I just, you know, anyway, we're actually off the clock now, but who cares? All right. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. You can get our legislative website at writeyourlaws.com. That's WriteYourLaws. And if you want to contribute to us here at Action Radio, we now are with givesendgo.com/Action Radio. Back tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific. And we will keep you updated for the D.C. Freedom Convoy. Thank you very much.